can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got soul. Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the show. You're listening to Hammer Radio Network. I am Brian Hammer Jackson, and we're live in the air. Today is March 24th, 2021. We have an important subject we're going to talk about. I'm taking care of some business as we speak right now. We're going to talk about something that's very sensitive. Justin Bieber's girlfriend, and I'm trying to find the story as I'm talking to you, so I may take a break first. She came out with a statement that she was born to marry Justin Bieber at a very young age. Bieber, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. And it got me thinking, and I was talking to some of our morning crew yesterday. About how times have changed. And so basically she is his girlfriend or his wife now, says that they were born to love and love each other at an early age, and that she wanted to be with him forever. And I can't find the story. But that's basically it in a nutshell. So I went from there to when, how early it is when people know they're in love, relationships, that kind of thing. So I went from there to when I was in high school, even junior high, it was not uncommon for a girl to be dating in, when I was in junior high, she's in junior high too. It was not uncommon for a girl, in fact, it was a badge of honor for young ladies to be dating somebody in high school. That was a badge of honor. That was like, ooh. And then when you get to high school, it was not uncommon for a high schooler, sophomore, junior, to be dating somebody who may be a freshman in college. It's not uncommon. But with social media going on right now, people losing their mind, this oversensitivity thing, I had to look into it a little bit deeper. A little bit deeper. And I did. I did. And I didn't like what I saw, but it's true, and it is how the world is today. So if you saw the title, When Kids Are Sex Offenders, this may happen to your son or your daughter in your neck of the woods. So I went over and I did a little investigating and found out stories about when kids are sex offenders. I know it's a harsh title, but it's part of life. I want to give you a scenario before I get to the story. Scenario. Let's forget junior high, high school love, and let's forget about senior and maybe freshman college love. Let's forget about that. What happens in a scenario I want to give you, and if you'd like to come in the studio, I'd like to hear it. What happens if you're in high school, you're a sophomore or freshman, and you fall in love with a senior? At the point where you fall in love, he may be 17 and a half, but he turns 18 while he's still in high school. Just give me a scenario. You may turn 16 while you're in high school. And what happens if you guys fall in love, your first love, blah, blah, blah. You know where I'm going with this. You have sex. He's your boyfriend, his girlfriend. You're in high school. Okay. What happens if your parents don't like the guy or the girl? Because technically, you're still living in the parents' home. And we always think that parents are logical and reasonable, but a lot of parents aren't. So let's just say you're with a single parent, either a father or mother. They don't like this boy or girl. Maybe the girl who turned, just going to turn 18, she's still in high school, she has a tattoo, or she's running around now, she's 18, and she's driving a car, and she's going to parties. But, you know, the parent don't like her behavior. You're still 16, 15, 16. They don't like this going on here. You know, they think they're a bad influence on you. Maybe you're starting to drink or smoke cigarettes. They notice the behavior in their young son or daughter. So what happens if the parents get so upset and say, don't hang around with this. Don't hang around with this crowd. He's bad or she's bad for you. They find out that you had sex. And they call the police. And they call the police because they think they have your good intention. Have your good intention. And they want you to break away from this situation. Or maybe they don't want their son or daughter become pregnant at an early age. Whatever the reason is. They call the police. You're an adult now, even though you're still in high school. What would happen to you? How would your life change? Well, we're going to go into some of these stories. I think you know. And if this is one of your fears or if this has happened to you, come into the studio. The number is 319-527-6099. That's the number. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number your voice will be heard around the world. If you have your own business, go ahead and promote your business if you come into the studio. Because the world has changed now. It has changed. It hasn't, I don't think it's the same world that we live by laws as mandated by Congress and Senate. It's called social media justice. Whether you get your chance to go to court and you get the chance to defend yourself, it doesn't matter. Because one of your friends or girlfriends can leak that out and you will be tried in social media justice. What do you care about that? And you go, well, I don't care. Okay, well, here's something to care about. Do you know that when you want to go to university, when you apply for university, your child applies for university, first thing they do is check your social media content. Even on a job, even employers. Don't think they don't. They will check your if they're thinking about hiring you. And it's almost like it's a routine background check now. They will check your social media. So I would suggest for you to get two Facebooks. One for business, and people are not thinking about this. People are not thinking about that now. If you're 16 and over, 17, well, maybe too late at 18. Well, I suggest you get two Facebooks, which you probably already have. Kids already are way ahead of us. Some of you guys got four or five. But just in case you didn't think about it, you should have a Facebook with just family. Clean content. Nothing posting that could be embarrassing or compromising. And your other Facebook, because they will check your Facebook. I have, it may be any application, and do you have social media? I don't know, because they will check it. you know, maybe go as far as your original Facebook, change the name to something else so it cannot be targeted back when they run a search with the same name and say, well, here you go, be smart. If your name was Danny, you know, Danny Baldwin, that's your real name, then you should have a different Facebook called, you know, Fred Sanford, or use a nickname, Magic Mike. You get the idea. Because if that situation happened, and then a friend gets upset, and or a girlfriend or your friend, they get upset and they post the shit. And you know how friends are. They'll post the shit, whether they're posting it for fun or posting it saying, I know you, or somebody get revenge, whatever. It says that you're a sexual predator. And how important it is that when that university or that job checks you out, they don't see anything like that, or your name comes out on the internet. Guess it will. That's a scenario. That's a new world we live in. That's something to think about. Because if you're thinking about your child's future, that's something you might be thinking about. And I know what you're thinking. We're in love. He's my boyfriend at this point. He'll never do this. He enjoys this. He likes sex as much as I do. In fact, he likes it more. She likes it more. I'm dating an older woman. She's a senior. I know this scenario, but you're not thinking in the long run, because the odds are for you to marry your first boyfriend or girlfriend, chances are you're going to break up. You're going to break up before high school. And when you do break up, there's going to shit going to be happening depending on how you break up. This is just to protect yourself. This is why we're doing this story. Our main story is when kids are sex offenders. There's a new report by Human Rights Watch. It's calling the attention to the effect of sex offender registration on juveniles. Those who have committed sex crimes while under the age of 18. But many youth offenders are much younger than that. You're going to be surprised. You will be surprised, and you're going to be surprised why. Or, excuse me, you're going to be surprised of the charges that they committed these acts and what kind of act did they commit. And they were still labeled a sex offender. And when I said before, somebody who gets pissed off at you and just post it. I got names because they were posted. And it can happen to you. So if you have a son and daughter, or you are a son and daughter, who is dating somebody older and you're still in high school, or maybe you're in junior high school. And even if you're the same age, it doesn't really matter. We're going to find that out. Your future could be in jeopardy. And you need to know the consequences. And parents need to know the consequences of their actions before they get pissed off. That's one of the stories we're going to be talking about. And I love it when the morning crew send me things. And we're talking about right now with the pandemic and the confusion about what vaccine to take, and AstraZeneca is on a chopping block here, and people are questioning that. All the sources, some good sources, some bad sources. Well, I'm going to give you another source. I want to thank Laverne for sending me this. She's part of the morning crew. And this is one man's take. I think he's a doctor. Talking about vaccines or people being vaccinated. I thought it was very interesting. So after that, we'll get to our main story. When kids are sex offenders. When kids are sex offenders. That's right. And we'll get into relationship talk, too. We will get into relationship talk. So you're listening to Hammer Radio Network on BTR Radio, and we'll be right back after this so people could come in the studio. Like I said, the number to come into the studio is 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you started. Your voice heard around the world. If you're a business person, shout it out. Get a free publicity. So good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. We are live. We're live on the radio. It's 8:03 a.m. in California, and it's sunny as hell, and it's going to be like 78 degrees today. And we'll be right back.
Lady, you're here for the audition?
Yeah. I'm Diamond, and this is Pearl.
Pearl?
Yeah.
I'm gonna do it again.
Show. It's Brian Hammer Jackson. I didn't even get a chance to get the coffee, but I'm going to go through it anyway, see if I can make it. All right, that's what the question is. We're going to get right back. We're going to get to our main story right now. Usually we wait, but we're going to go right now with it. When kids are sex offenders, these are some of the cases, real cases, kids, and how it ruined their lives. Here we go. When kids are sex offenders. So we're talking about a new report by Human Rights. It's a watch group. It's calling attention to the effect of sex offenders, and they must register on juveniles. These are kids who commit a sex crime while under the age of 18. But many youth offenders are much younger than that. These are some of the real cases. To get me in the mood, I always like to do our sound effects, and everybody knows that. These are real cases. This is not anything fake news or coming from some fringe, you know, website. These are real cases I'm about to reveal to you right now. And again, you may be one of these people when you're in high school, when you're a kid. Here we go. Let's start it.
See is true. The names have been changed to protect the innocent.
This is the city. 2 million people, almost 1 million kids. People have tried to plan for them. They've built schools for them to learn in, beaches and parks for them to play in. Most of the kids follow the course as planned. A few of them get lost on the way. When they do, it makes trouble for me. I'm a cop.
Thursday, September 15th, it was hot in Los Angeles. We were working the day watch at a burglary division. My partner's Bill Gannon. The boss is Captain Mack. My name's Friday. It was 7:30 a.m. We were reporting in early for another day. It got started in a hurry. A large quantity of high-velocity gelatin dynamite had been stolen from a consumer's storage magazine. We had to try and find it before somebody used it.
And this story is true. Here we go. Throughout the United States, children as young as 9 years old, 9 years old, who are adjudicated delinquents may be subject to sex offender registration laws. For example, in Delaware in 2011, There were approximately 639 children on the sex offender registry. 639 children. Children. On the sex offender registry. 55 of whom were under the age of 12. A 2009 Department of Justice study, which focuses only on sex crimes committed by children in which other children were the victims. What they found that 1 out of 8 youth sex offenders, 1 out of 8 youth sex offenders committing crimes against other children were younger than, you guessed it, 12. While some youth offenders are clearly dangerous, the report lists numerous questionable instances of sex offenses. For example, now this is very important. Here's where it gets scary. And again, you must listen to this show and help yourself. Good morning, beautiful. How are you? What a lovely time to visit the studio. Laverne, hello.
Good morning, Brian.
Good morning, kiddo. Am I not listed again? Blog Talk really did something to me?
No, you are. My internet connection just went out.
Oh.
So I decided I had this problem.
Thank you, sweetheart. Thank you very much. And I'm glad you came in. Laverne, remember the day, I don't know if you remember, but remember the day back in the day when we were in high school and whatever, and it was not unusual for a girl to fall in love with a guy who may be a senior in high school or a college, freshman in college, you know? Remember those days?
Not at all. It wasn't unusual at all.
Exactly. And nowadays, you know how... We talked about this. Social media now is driving. It's a driving force in how we think and changing our laws and things like that. The time has changed, and there are people right now, and they're going to go back to school, and you know the subject, that they don't realize, like, if I was a senior and I'm dating a girl, okay, I'm black, and maybe she's white. Let's just go with that. I'm a senior. I'm still 17, but maybe she's 15 in a freshman in high school. She turned 16 as a sophomore. I happen to turn 18 when I'm in school. And I'm still in school, by the way. Can you imagine that parent find out, oh, my God, they get upset, and they can call the cops on you, and now your whole life is over, and you're registered as a sex offender. That is really a real possibility. Nowadays, and I don't think parents really think about this.
Yeah, it is, but you know what? The way times are changing or have
mm-hmm.
changed, if they're
uh-huh.
trying to pass laws for pedophiles, they'll change
right.
that too.
Well, you would think.
Not everyone reported. Not every
right.
parent, you know, the parent liked the guy or the
right.
girl, you know, it,
mm-hmm.
it's nothing said. But it's only
right.
when that parent do not want that child involved with the other child.
Right. But, you know, the possibility is there, and I don't like
mm-hmm.
it even. And, you know, common sense, I'm hoping people have common sense. You know, I want to ruin my daughter's life, you know, put her in the newspaper as being a sex abuse, a victim.
Mm-hmm.
And I really don't want to
mm-hmm.
do. You would hope that people have some kind of common sense, but when people get enraged and when people have this vindictive thing going on or anger or hate, it could turn into something very different.
Yes.
And
okay.
in case in point, these are people, and you're not going to believe it, these are people who are actually listed on the sex offenders list as early as age 10. 10. These are true crimes here. And here it is right here. It says, at 2009 Department of Justice study, which focused only on sex crimes committed by children in which other children were the victims, they found that out of 8 youth sex offenders committing crimes against other children were younger than 12. Here it is here. Myra R. That's a girl. Now she's 28 years old. She's a resident of Michigan. She was arrested at the age of 10. 10 years old, she was arrested for a sexual experiment. She was experimenting at 10. They arrested her. That's the charges. Experimentation, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. She was experimenting.
Mm-hmm.
Me and my stepbrothers, who were ages 8 and 5, they flashed each other and play-acted sex while fully clothed. A year later, Maya pleaded guilty to the charges of criminal sexual conduct in the first and second degree. That offense required her to register as a sex offender for 25 years. 25 years. She was 8. So what this does to her is if she ever wanted to get into a good university, that's gone. She ever wanted to get to a good job, that's gone. Her life is over because they will check your references. It even says on the application, have you ever been convicted of a crime? But they will check. 25 years because she flashed her half-brother. In 2004, in Western Pennsylvania, a 15-year-old girl was charged with manufacturing and dismantling child pornography. Oh, I'm sorry. Not dismantling. She was charged with manufacturing and sending out child pornography.
Hmm.
For having taken nude photos of herself and posted them on the internet. She was charged as an adult and as of 2012 was facing registration for life. She did it at 15. For life. Another case in 2006, a 13-year-old girl from Ogden, Utah, was arrested for rape for having consensual sex with her 12-year-old boyfriend. She was 13. He was 12. She was arrested for rape for having consensual sex with her 12-year-old boyfriend. Her 12-year-old boyfriend was found guilty of violating the same law for engaging in sexual activity with her, as she was a child under the age of 14 at the time. His life is ruined. And we can go on, and it says here, in 2011, the national rate for all offenses of non-sexual and sexual combined was 40%, whereas the rate was 13% for adults and sex offenders. Several studies, including one study of a cohort that included 77% youth convicted of violent sex offenses, have found blah, 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 4 and 10%. We're going to get into percent. Who cares? Youth sex offenders on their registry experience severe psychological harm. They are stigmatized. They are isolated. They're often depressed. Many consider it suicide, and some succeed. They and their families have experienced harassment and physical violence. They are sometimes shot at, beaten, even murdered. Many are repeatedly threatened with violence. Some youth and young people have to post signs stating sex offender lives here in the window of their homes. Well, like what we're saying, it is an extreme case, and you're right, but we're counting on parents being logical, normal, and reasonable. But when hate, vengeance, and whatever you do, if you have a daughter or a son and you cannot stand who they're hanging around with, or you fear that their lives may be in danger because of the behavior of the boyfriend or the girlfriend, as a parent, you're thinking, I'm going to do anything I can to protect my child.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
And they may take these steps. If this is steps they have to take, some will. And again, some won't, but you roll the dice. You roll the dice.
Yeah.
And kids don't think about this. A kid turning 18 right now, he's a senior. There's a girl right now who may be 16 and a half, and it's innocent love, but still, we're looking at the ages. Kids have to think about their future because it could only, not only them, guys, ladies, I'm talking to both. Chances are your first love, how many of you, I'm talking to the audience out there, are still with your first love? It's very rare that you're still with your first love. You're going to break up. So while you're taking those selfie pictures of you and your girlfriend in an intimate manner, or while you're having a little fun and those, and you post those selfie pictures on Facebook, you're basically committing a crime. You're not thinking. And just because, and when you break up, people break up. They're not really break. I've never seen a happy breakup, except for you, Laverne. I have never seen a happy breakup like, well, this isn't working out. Thank you. Good luck. Yeah, I miss you too, right? Call me. I never seen that. There are some mature people like Laverne and everything, and other people can have a mature, this is not working out, but, you know, I wish you luck and let's still be friends. That could happen, but that's very rare in my world. Because you humans live differently. In my planet, that doesn't happen. I'm not from this world. I am here to study you humans, and I don't like the report I'm going to send. But in your world, a lot of people get hurt, especially if it's your first love. And that first love could call easy. I mean, we talk about adults all the time. We talk about sexual harassment, blah, 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 with Cuomo and everybody. But that girl, 16, could get so mad, call the police and say, you raped her. And even if you didn't rape her, even if it was consensual, it's still a crime. And you're not thinking about your future. You're not thinking about your college. You're not thinking about business. It's something to think about. I know it's hard to break up with your girlfriend when you're 17 and a half and you don't want that birthday to come. And it's like, now I'm 18. But you better be so secure that you're in a good relationship. You better be so secure that the parents love you, that this is not going to come back and bite you in the ass. Because if you're in a relationship that you're breaking up and you're not breaking up, you're getting together and you're just hooking up, your ass is in danger for life. And you're not thinking. It's the way it is. I'm reading actual people who got their lives ruined. They got their lives
but
ruined.
But now the one that you read with the young girl that was experimenting, mm-hmm. I really thought that all kids that age experiment.
They do. It's natural. But social media made it a crime.
Hmm.
She was experimenting. There was a couple of them here. Let me go back to it. Oh, here we go. Myra R., she's now 28. She lives in Michigan. She was arrested at the age of 10 for sexual experimentation. Me and my stepbrother, she was one who she was 8, he was 5. They flashed each other and played, and they acted sex while fully clothed. So they're mimicking sex. So apparently these kids maybe saw their parents make love or whatever, and as kids do, we're talking 8 and 5. We're talking 8 and 5. As they may mimic the parents or whoever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And for that, she has to
be registered. And the parents had to do something about that. You know, a parent had to turn the child in or complain about that, you know. And that's awful if it was a parent.
Well, I don't know, because if they did it outside, me and my stepbrothers were at the age of 5. We flashed each other. They could have done it outside, and a neighbor could have saw them. Or somebody walked by could have saw them and knew who they were. And you're right. Where does the child services come in, and where does all this other stuff come in? But here's the bottom line. The bottom line is somebody saw them, because I don't think the parents would have done it. I think somebody saw them and knew who they were, and they got offended. And now she did this at 8, and now she has to register as a sex offender at 25.
Wow.
Yeah. And, you know, we're not thinking. It's like back in the day. I mean, when I was in high school, I was at both ends of it. Sophomore, a freshman, I was dating a senior. I liked it when she turned 18. She had a car, you know, the amenities that go with it. And then when I was a senior, I was dating a sophomore. Now, the senior, I was 17 and a half. She just turned 16. But again, with this new social media and this new outcry and this sensitivity and rape culture and all this stuff that's running around in the internet, and people get their head confused because they're not listening to the laws anymore or common sense. It's internet justice. It's social media justice. This is what's going on here. You got to be careful. You got to be careful. That's the same advice that we can give, Laverne, that if you're a young boy, if you're a young black African-American boy dating a different race, it's the same advice we can give you. If you're a parent, I know they love you. I know you love them. You know the situation. I know. You know the dangers. The talk, you know?
Mm-hmm,
Hopefully it doesn't happen, but now everybody must have that talk with their kids.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a son.
Mm-hmm.
It says, I know your girlfriend's this age and you love each other. You're going to take her to the prom and everything. Watch out if you're taking her to the prom. Don't be drinking because she could put you in jail. She could claim it nowadays. And if you have a girl who's 15 or 16 and she's going on the internet and all of a sudden she's woke and you hurt her and her first love and she caught you with her girl, whatever the situation, she could even claim now. Before that wasn't even in, back in my day, that wasn't even in their heads. You're just an asshole.
Yep.
So this message, and I know it looks salacious, the headline, when kids are sex offenders. I know it looks salacious, and you're saying, Brian, you're trying. No, this is serious shit that kids are not thinking, and parents are not thinking about what could happen to their children. And if you do report this guy who just turned 18 and your girl maybe 16, she's also going to jail and ruin her life. Her name will also be in the newspaper. She can also, those parents can press charges on her because they're under the age. So before you make that move and that vindictive move, you could ruin your own child's life, but people are doing it. Let's just face it, a lot of adults are not mature enough to have children. That's just bottom line. We can accept that. Then we can accept anything that can happen. That's it. Because just because you have a baby doesn't mean you're mature enough to handle the responsibility. Just it.
No, but the sad thing is, life don't come with a rule book.
That's right.
Or parenting don't come with a guide for parenting.
That's true.
I let them go from instincts, but you have to, really.
Well, because it's natural. I mean, we are kept, our natural selves, curiosity, whatever, we're training our people to be AIs, be intelligent, don't feel, don't go with your natural gut, don't go with your instincts, because somebody's going to get offended with your natural instincts. And we're training people not to be human anymore. Whatever social media you're on, whatever you're doing right now is wrong. I guarantee you get up this morning and you make your bed. I guarantee you go on social media and you're going to find out 50 ways why you made that bed wrong, and this is the way you should make that bed. I'm giving an example.
No, I know what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. So
remember
it's like,
the other day?
Mm-hmm.
The other day when you had an article on we use the bathroom wrong.
Right. Exactly. And this is the world we're living in. We're living, believe it or not, we had this talk, Laverne, it's quite interesting. We had this talk where we don't have any rules anymore or guidelines, and the guidelines that we did have, we don't trust them. And when you don't trust these guidelines that we live forever and you found out that it was a lie, you don't trust anything. And the problem of that is that there's anarchy. People don't know what to do. If they don't trust the guidelines that they live for and how they get to point A to point B, when you don't trust the directions, you're going to get lost. Hey, that's a good metaphor, huh? That's a nice metaphor. Wow. But it's true. If you don't trust the directions, you're not going to get to your destination. You're going to get lost. And if you don't trust what the government is saying to you, and I'm not saying you should, but we got to a point where everybody is questioning everything.
Yeah.
And that's not good either, because what facts
well,
are
we
you
do
getting?
Have a,
mm-hmm.
We do have a built-in compass, but
mm-hmm.
I guess that don't do us no good if we're not listening to it either.
Right. And where are you getting that directions from, that built-in compass? The only reason there's a compass is because you're listening to some kind of direction that builds that compass, that makes you go north, south, or east.
Mm-hmm.
The information, and you and I differ on this, and you're very much more aware than I am. I don't want to use that word woke, but I'll use it because I guess it's a trigger word, and I don't like it, but it's a trigger word. And you and I had this discussion. You go, people are waking up, Ryan. I go, yeah, I know, but is it a good thing? And it's a good thing because I've known you for a while, Laverne. You could handle it. You can ride that line, but you're still here. You know, your feet are still planted, you know, and you can go there
mm-hmm.
and say, okay, I can look at this, and that may have some stuff into it, but I'm still grounded. There's a lot of people who are just way out there. Way out there.
And you use the key word, grounded, because,
mm-hmm.
like you said, you have to be grounded when you are not going by rules.
Right.
I was going to say something, but I forgot what it was. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Continue.
But, yeah,
I forgot.
Hear. It's not easy being on a talk show, is it, baby? yeah, there you go. Yeah. Yeah, welcome to my world. But, yeah. But somebody's getting – wherever you live your life and whatever you do right now, those rules are gone. Now we don't have – we have Q. We have other stuff. We have other conspiracy. We have left wing. We got right wing. The news is not giving us the straight facts. And we're going to play that vaccine information that you were so nicely to send to me. We are. I was just going to get to the main story first, and we're going to play that too. So what do we do? You know, what do we do when we don't trust the government and the government was supposed to take care of us? I mean, we voted on these people. They promised to take care of us. They promised to give us guidelines. Biden is just giving vaccines left and right. I mean, and they're telling us that, oh, my God, we need to get vaccine because now we need the herd thing and we're going to be just fine. But then the question is, and I'll hang in there, folks. I am getting back to the sex. Just stay with me. It goes right there. I got to give an example. But here's the thing that gets to me. Is when the government says, yeah, we're going to get back to normal, we're going to open up restaurants and bars and beaches and everything, I go, oh, you are? Okay. Yeah, but we're going to open up to 25%. 25%? First of all, who came up with the number 25%? Number one. Yeah, here's where we go with questioning every shit. 25%? Who came up with this number 25%? This restaurant is opening up at 35%. This restaurant is opening up at 10%. Who is coming up with these numbers? Because they're not consistent. Right there, I'm thinking, okay, here we go. And then we're going, yeah, and Biden says, let's open up the schools. Great, let's open the schools. Well, you have to be 6 feet apart. Okay, 6 feet apart, I understand. Okay, 6 feet apart. My kid's going to school 6 feet. And then it comes out the next day. Well, they could be 3 feet apart. Well, what is it, 3 or 6? Who's coming up with these numbers?
That doesn't make sense. You're not supposed to ask those questions.
Right.
You are not supposed to.
Right. And this is why people don't trust information. People go, well, there's misinformation. But by who? Who makes you right that this is misinformation? See, now we're
mm-hmm.
questioning you. Why is your information valid and this information is wrong? And you're saying that's misinformation. Then I go to their site, and they're going, well, that's misinformation. Then you're going, okay, you might as well bend over and kiss your ass goodbye because now we don't have any kind of roadmap. We have anarchy. We have chaos. I have to figure somebody out there wants this to happen. We have Russians giving us misinformation about the vaccine, and we're believing it. Then we have Korea giving us misinformation about the vaccine. Don't take the vaccine. And then all of a sudden we have people believing Putin, the Republicans believing Putin versus Biden because they hate Biden and the Democrats so much. So they go to – you can see where the world is. It's chaos. It's anarchy. And you can't believe anything. We can't even smile at ladies anymore. I'm being really dramatic at a workplace, and you know why. And men get offended too, and you can't even say a word because somebody's going to get offended. You could say Negro, and somebody's going to get offended saying, I'm not a Negro, I'm a black man. That's a slave term. Oh, I'm sorry, can I say colored? Oh, hell no. You go, okay. We're that sensitive, you know what I mean? What do you do?
Mm-hmm.
What do you do? Going back to like as current as the shooter in Colorado, I just went on there, and people are yelling, he's not white. They said he's white. He's not white. I'm going, isn't this a bitch? The guy is from Syria. He has a Syrian name. I don't have him up. But now I'm reading articles where people are complaining. He's not white. They said he was white on TV. He's not white. He looks white, but he's not white. He's from Syria. I'm going, really? Really? We got to this point? Do you really care? This guy just killed 10 people. And you're arguing, well, they said he was white. He is not right. He's from Syria. I'm going, Jesus Christ. This is where we are. This is where we are, folks, if you are listening to the Internet. We'll finish the story. But guys, the reason, and ladies, especially you ladies, who are curious about your body, I understand. Men are curious about their bodies too. I understand. It's a natural thing. Yes, it is. But be careful. Unless you have a solid relationship, unless your parents love that guy, or unless your parents love that girl, that there's family and you're so kind and the parents are getting along, blah, 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 even then you're not safe because chances are you're going to break up. Chances are you're going to break up. Not many people stay in love with their first love for the rest of their lives. And depending on that breakup, this could come back and bite you in the ass. It really can. These are real cases. Thank you, Laverne. And these are real cases. And I'll go a little bit more because we're almost done. 77% youth convicted of violent sex offenses have found the rate of sex offenses between four, blah, 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 given some, blah, 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 meanwhile, long-term, even, here we go. Meanwhile, long-term, even lifetime registration can be damaging to children. Lifetime. And Laverne, people don't understand nowadays when they go for a job. I don't care if you're 16 years old, especially when you're 16 year old and you get your first job at a sandwich place or whatever, that the employers do search your social media. That's part of your application. Mm-hmm. They do.
Yeah.
And even when you apply for college, they do. And I suggest this, and I really do suggest this, and I know some these kids are way ahead of us. I mean, we're old school. They're way ahead of us. But I'm going to say it to some of the slow kids that you do need maybe three Facebook pages. One just for family to be cool, and the other two, use your gamer name or whatever so it doesn't link to your one because they're going to check that. Universities will check that for you to get in school. And if you're labeled a sex offender, whether you did it or not, you're dead, even for regular jobs.
But would that work even if they have several pages? Would they work if they all have the same IP address?
Well, good point. Good point. Wow. That's a good point. Wow. I didn't even come to that. I don't think the average person... you may be right because, again, these millennials know about coding and everything. Well, there you go. Go to the library or I don't know. You're right, Laverne.
You know how they're linking everything together. You can have three different devices, and if all of them link together, ain't no way you can get out of certain things.
Right. Wow, I did not. You gave me some knowledge. Yeah, take the other effort and go to the library. We still got them, people. We still got libraries. and get yourself another Facebook page just in case. Like Laverne says, I didn't think about it, but your IP that doesn't identify that computer you're on. Very good. Very good. Wow. See? But you need to do that, everybody. Just to protect yourself. Because, you know, you're human, too. You want to put up funny stuff, and you get in a fight with your friends and everything. That's nobody else's business but yours. So just do it if you haven't already done it. It says here, youth sex offenders under register experience severe psychological harm. We went through that. Some people have to post signs stating that they are sex offenders at their homes, that they live there. Youth sex offenders on the registry are sometimes denied access to education. I just said it. They're denied access to education because residency restriction law prevents them from being in or near school. Can you imagine if you're 16 years old and you got to register as a sex offender because you just had sex with your 18-year-old boyfriend? Now you cannot even be near school. Can you imagine your parents have to leave or you have to leave the house now? Because you had sex with your boyfriend. Yeah. Because once they're labeled a sex offender, they cannot be near a school. Y'all got to leave now. You got to move out of that house. You've been there for 20 years. Youth sex offender registrants despair of ever finding employment. I just mentioned that. Even while they are burdened with the mandatory fees that can reach into the hundreds of dollars on an annual basis. On an annual basis. The report recommends a number of policy changes. So they're trying to change this, but I don't know what's happening. Among them, the juveniles be kept off sex offender registration, at least until the research demonstrates that registration improves public safety to an extent that outweighs the harm brought to. So what they're trying to do now is pass a law to keep them off the sex offenders registry. Hasn't passed yet, but this is politics. It is understandable that sex offenses against children are punished with special severity, but the report is nonetheless unsettling. In some cases, normal sexual development appears to be criminalized, and it has, thanks to social media. And lifetime registration means there is no second chances. That seems a heavy burden indeed when available evidence suggests that the reform is possible. And half the time they don't think they're doing, it's such an innocent and curiosity thing, they don't think they're doing a crime.
Right, of course not, no.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So.
And it's crazy too because, like you said, rape offenders, pedophiles, they get less... less punishment than that.
Right.
What they doing to these kids.
Exactly. Exactly. And that is the story. And those are the consequences. And we try to do things for the show. And I know it sounds salacious. Oh, Brian's going to do a story when kids are sex offenders. Oh, it's going to be. No. I'm trying to do a PDA or an awareness that this is the world we live in. We live in social media justice, and whether you like it or not, we do. If your name is out there and you can ruin your life for education and employment, it's a serious matter. And people, I guarantee you, this is the furthest thing from anybody's mind right now. With little Timothy right now, who's 15, who's on Zoom, and so-and-so, she sees so-and-so, little Kathy on Zoom, and they trade their stuff, and maybe they experiment or whatever. That, too, goes on the Internet. Or you're living at home thinking, well, Kathy's going out with Mark, and Mark's going to be a doctor, and he goes to Harvard next year, and she's only 16. These are things to think about, because chances are Kathy's going to break up with Mark, because when he gets to the university, he's not going to be with her, and you don't know what she's going to do. Protect yourself. Educate yourself. You got the information. Do it. Do with it what you want. And I'll be reading about you in about 6 months. I say, you hear this fool? Now, this fool heard me read the story. You know what I mean? And it reminds me of our guy. Remember our guy, Laverne, the pastor, Bowinkle? He stopped your baby crying when you did the time. I miss him, and I'm going to play him right now because they have a break. And when we come back, lovely Laverne sent me some more information, and this is regarding the pandemic. This is it may help with the confusion about the vaccine and vaccination. It's more information for you to ponder. And I want to thank Laverne for sending me that. We have our favorite pastor, and I think it's time. Oh, maybe I should play this. Laverne, you want to laugh? Sometimes we want to laugh, right? We want to laugh.
It's good to laugh.
You love laughing. I love to hear you laugh. I'm a big fan of Key and Peele. Those are the guys I played yesterday. Was funny. I don't know if you get to see them a lot. But they did a thing on church and a church lady. I don't know if you heard it. I think you I think you would enjoy it because you have a good sense of humor. You may not agree with my sense of humor all the time. Well, what am I saying? Probably never. But you kind of laugh, especially when they give it to me. So this is one of the funny ones. I'm going to play this for you. Let's see if you enjoy this, because I like to shake it up. This is, again, these are my guys. I like them. Their humor is kind of going to offend somebody, which is supposed to. They're talking about church. And I was hoping King would be in studio, but I guess he's not, because I was going to play this for him. Well, these are two guys.
Well, he may come in. He may come in later, and if you really want him to hear it, just play a song and just kind of wait.
You think so? Play the song? Okay. Mm-hmm. I'll just play the song, and if he's not here, I'll play it. Give him a chance to get in. And anybody else wants to get into the studio, the number is 319-527-6099. That's the number, 319-527-6099. Come in and say hello to Celebrity Laverne. Say hello to me. And if you have a subject you want to talk about, come in. I want to hear it. And if you have a thoughts about, or your kid is in high school and they're in danger, you got to call it. You know the deal, if it's on your mind. I'll try to look up the information and give you the right information so you have the education. That's what we do on this show. You're listening to Hammer 96.7 BT Radio, along with the celebrity guest Laverne, the morning crew. We want to send a shout-out to Miss Melissa out there, going to her shop and looking all beautiful and everything. Just in case she's listening, even if she's not listening, we give her a shout-out, our morning crew. You go ahead, girl. You do your thing. You know what I mean? You do your thing. And shout out to Ms. Oliver, Mr. Oliver. I know he's missing the show, and this is one of his times he gets to listen to it. All right. When we come back, Ms. Laverne has some information about the vaccination and the pandemic that she sent me, and we're going to play that. And I think it's good information. And now it's time to play the song. Well, I had it all set up and everything, but I guess we'll wait to Mr. King, see if he comes in here. And now I have to pick a song. Okay. What we're going to do is, of course, we're talking about, what did you think about the Black Militia, as I stall? Laverne, we did a story about the Black Militia. Black people are now organizing. They're getting guns. They're in the forest right now shooting guns. They're wearing black, and they're a militia. What do you think about that?
I think it may be needed.
Could be.
You know, we need to have, everybody really need to have some form of protection. We don't know what's going on from day to day.
And I'm sick and tired of when I see black people protest and I see white people standing at the foot of the Capitol with guns and everything. Maybe we need to stand at the foot of the Capitol with guns and everything going, really? You want to start some? You got some. You know, don't start none, won't be none.
They didn't start this with the guns, Caucasians. They didn't just start. They've been doing this, doing that little training and their little groups for a very long time.
Oh, yeah, that intimidation factor. So watch for that. It's funny that they're not getting a lot of press, isn't it? I mean, usually this what's getting press is that this guy shot 10 people. I know I'm not condemning it. It's sad. It's really sad. Do we really need to have 4 days of this? I mean, they arrested a person. It's really sad. Really, 4 days of this? Okay. Okay. I put my hands up. All right. All right.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there could be other things that we could be talking about, like let's see what's going on with the vaccines and...
Well, you know they wouldn't put that in the press. That video that you're getting ready to play, you know that would not make it.
Oh, no, it will not. And that's why, thanks to you, we're going to play it. So we're going to play it when we get back. And, again, you're listening to Hammer 96.7 with the lovely Laverne. Come on in and say hello to her. We'll be here for about another hour. If you'd like to come in the studio, it's 319-527-6099. That's a way to get your voice heard around the world. And here we go. I'm going to get some coffee, and I hope Laverne gets a little cup of coffee. And we'll be right back with the main story. And don't miss this one because this is some knowledge. I did not know this until the lovely Laverne sent it to me. So before you decide if you're going to take that vaccine or what kind of vaccine you're going to take, you need to listen to this because we got some knowledge for y'all. We'll be right back in 3 minutes. No, wrong one. How about this? It's what I like. This is what I like. We'll be right back.
Hey. I got a condo in Manhattan. Baby girl, what's happening? Your ass invited, so gone and get to clapping. Go pop it for a plan, pop it for me. Turn around and drop it for a plan, drop it for me. I'll rent some beach house in Miami. Wake up with no jammies. Lots to tell for dinner. Coolio served that scampi. You got it if you want it. Got it if you want it. Said you got it if you want it. Take my wallet if you want it now. Jump in the Cadillac,
girl, let's put some miles. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Sex by the fire at night, silk sheets and diamonds all white. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like. Lucky for you, that's what I like, that's what I like.
I'm talking trips to Puerto Rico, say the word and we go. You can be my flica, girl, I'll be a flico mama. A promise that I can't keep. I promise that your smile ain't gonna never leave. Shopping sprees in Paris, everything 24 carats. Take a look in that mirror. Now tell me who's the fairest. Is it you?
Is it me?
Say it's us, and I'll agree.
lucky for you, that's what I like. Boy, if we have that attitude, maybe there'd be less divorce. All right, here we go. Well, we tried to wait for King before I go to the next story, because it's very important that the next story. We got a couple. I'm looking at the time right now. I still got an hour, just at 150 minutes. So we're going to, it's hard to do a three-hour show. And I keep thinking to myself, why am I doing a three-hour show? And then when I get on, I do a three-hour show, sometimes 4 hours. We call it the after party and podcast, and that's where people go nuts. Have you never been to the after party? Woo! This is Brian Hammer Jackson with 96.7 BT Radio, along with my special celebrity, the morning crew guest, Laverne. And you're more than welcome to come in the studio to discuss anything we want to discuss. It's 319-527-6099. And Melissa's on location right now, getting her groove on, doing her thing. You go, girl. King, well, we tried to wait for you, but Laverne, I got to play it. Are you ready? I think you'll get a kick out of it.
Yep.
Here we go.
Hear that beautiful footage.
Yeah. He'll listen to it on pod. I guarantee he might come in the middle of it. Sometimes he does. Okay, it's called The Church. These are two church ladies versus Satan. Now, this is Key and Peele. They're two guys. They're two black guys. And they're women. They're at church. They're posing as women, and they're at church, okay? That's a setup. And this is why I did this especially for King, but I think Laverne will get a kick out of it. So here we are. Key and Peele at church as two church ladies versus Satan. My treat to you.
Happy Sunday, Esther.
Happy Sunday, Georgina. How was your week?
Oh, the Lord is with me.
Mm-hmm.
But the devil, he got his hands on my grandniece, Grace.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. They're smoking the reefer, doing the hanky-panky with boys.
Oh, George.
Well, Esther, you know that I love all things that are good and holy.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't let go of my grandniece, Grace, I'm going to cut the devil's off and shove it in his ass.
Mm-hmm.
With my prayers.
I know you will, Georgina. I know you will.
How was your week, girl?
Oh, you know me. I'm blessed and thankful for everything.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But you know my grandson, Jason, got himself wrapped up in the leathery claws of Satan.
Not Jason.
He got himself arrested for the spray painting and the vandalism.
Oh, Lord.
And I tell you, I never raise my hand in anger, but if he don't let Jason go, I'm going to punch that Satan in the nuts so hard it wipe the licking smirk off his horned-ass face.
Mm-hmm.
With my prayers.
Amen. I know you will, Esther. I know you will, but Esther, I got to tell you some announcement.
Let it out.
You know, Esther, that I have found serenity in the glory of heaven.
Yes.
But my daughter's husband, Bernard, has got himself wedged between the cleft hooves of Lucifer himself.
Mm.
She opened up his laptop computer and found the pornography of women.
Not the pornography of women.
Absolutely, the pornography of women.
Not on the laptop computer.
The laptop computer and the pornography of women. I am a pacifist under God's request. But if he don't let go of Bernard, I'm going to sneak up on that bitchy-ass Lucifer right in the midst of his sleep time.
Oh.
And then I'm going to sit on that mother's head and I'm going to spread my booty cheeks on that pig's face. And I'm going to just pucker up my stank hole.
Ooh.
And just toops, 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 until that got a brown dot on his nose that I can use for target practice.
Surprise!
Shoot that! Surprise!
Shoot that!
Surprise!
Ooh, shoot that in the neck with my prayers.
With your prayers, of course, mm-hmm. Of course. Oh, Georgina, Georgina, Georgina.
Yep.
Oh, I got nothing but faith in God in heaven above, but I tell you, my son's wife, Crystal, she got herself wrapped up in the fiery wings of Mephistopheles herself.
Here we go.
You know, she got caught using profanity with her own children.
Wow.
dinner table.
Oh, Lord, child. Georgina Marie Martin. Oh, I have nothing but love for every creature on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But if he don't let my darling Crystal go, I'm going to flirt with the devil.
Oh, oh.
Show him a little bit of shoulder. How you doing? He going to start looking away. I'm going to start twerking. Start twerking. He's going to be like, ooh, where he going to be? He's going to be drawn in.
Mm-hmm.
Seduce that little mother.
Okay.
Give him one of these. Ha, batting my eyelashes at him. Then when he least expects it, and I got his trust, that's when I'm going to ride that. I'm going to give him the night of his life. A night he ain't never going to forget.
Don't
I'm going to give him this way. I'm going to give him that way.
Right.
And then right when he about to climax, that's when I'm going to clench up my on that mother red and I'm going to snap that off with a divine kegel.
Well, you got to snap that off.
With your prayers.
Of course, with the prayers, yeah. But that's right, girl.
Yeah.
You go get him, Elsa.
Yeah.
Satan.
Him in B.
Georgina's here anymore. It is I, Satan.
Oh!
Show. This is Brian, and we're going to get to our main story. And now, when you're thinking about this vaccine, here's some information that, thanks to Miss Laverne, she gave it to us. And here's some information. Take it for what you take it. And here it is. This guy, I don't know much about him. Laverne, do you want to set him up, or there's no setup? Just go ahead and play it. What do you want to do?
There's no setup. No setup.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Okay. Well, we're going to play, and he's going to talk about the vaccines. And listen carefully, and here we go. And here we go.
Fun and engaging. This can get you more clicks, likes, shares, and most importantly, sales than any other type of video.
Career,
which is why Doodly is now the video tool of choice for
medical journalism, which now spans, you know, around 15 years of working in television and media to discuss medical issues. Something gigantic has happened this week. At least I think it is. Okay, now for really, I think, one of the most important stories I have perhaps covered in my entire career in medical journalism, which now spans, you know, around 15 years of working in television and media to discuss medical issues. Something gigantic has happened this week. At least I think it is, and you can decide for yourself as we weigh into this. To begin with, there is a world-renowned vaccine creator that went on his LinkedIn and put out a letter to every single professional in the world, essentially telling them we must stop the vaccination program immediately. Here's just a couple of excerpts from his letter. Let's take a look at this. As a dedicated virologist and vaccine expert, I only make an exception when health authorities allow vaccines to be administered in ways that threaten public health, most certainly when scientific evidence is being ignored. The present extremely critical situation forces me to spread this emergency call. As the unprecedented extent of human intervention in the COVID-19 pandemic is now at risk of resulting in a global catastrophe without equal, this call cannot sound loudly enough. He goes on, sufficient scientific evidence has been brought to the table. Unfortunately, it remains untouched by those who have the power to act. How long can one ignore the problem when there is at present massive evidence that viral immune escape is now threatening humanity? We can hardly say we didn't know or were not warned. In this agonizing letter, I put all of my reputation and credibility at stake. I expect from you, guardians of mankind, at least the same. It is of utmost urgency. Do open the debate. By all means, turn the tide. I think he goes on and has this statement to make, a form of a disclaimer, I suppose. For those who may have some difficulty in understanding how mass vaccination drives viral immune escape, it will suffice to watch infectivity and morbidity rates in those countries who have now succeeded in vaccinating millions of people in just a few weeks, e.g. UK, Israel, USA. Whereas these countries are now enjoying declining infectivity rates, they will undoubtedly start to suffer from a steep incline in COVID-19 cases in the weeks to come. The steep decline we're seeing right now may be followed by a short-lived plateau, but a subsequent steep incline of severe disease cases is inevitable. These are shocking statements. And to be clear, just so you recognize, this man could not be more pro-vaccine. In fact, he may be one of the most highly ranked and talented vaccine creators in the world. Let's take a look at the resume of the man that is screaming at the top of the mountain right now. This is Geert van den Bosch, PhD. He was at GSK Biologicals. He was a senior project leader of adolescent vaccine projects, new biotech vaccine development and QC/QA manager, head of adjuvant technologies and alternative deliveries and R&D. At Novartis Vaccines and Diagnostics, he was the director, research program leader, and head of adjuvants. At Solvay Biologicals, global project director of the influenza vaccines. For the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, he was the senior program officer, global health vaccine discovery. For Global Alliance for Vaccine and Immunization, which we refer to as Gavi, he was a program manager. And at UNIVAC, he was the chief innovation and scientific officer. He's also at the German Center for Infectious Research, head of the Vaccine Development Office. And at Verico, he is was the managing director. Okay, this guy is anything but an anti-vaxxer. He is as pro-vaccine as you can get. Yet there is something that has got him terrified. Now, that letter really only speaks to the professionals in his field. But luckily for us, he did an interview, I believe it was last week.
It raises the point that I've always been saying, is that we haven't spent enough time understanding how the virus impacts the body and understanding how the pandemic then will impact the world. We've spent all of our time just going for solutions. Has that been a mistake?
Of course, this has been the most important mistake, I think. I'm not sure many people, and I was part of them. I was just explaining, we don't understand our weapon because we don't understand that prophylactic vaccines should not be used in the midst of an epidemic, and we don't understand exactly what the virus is doing. So we go to a war, and we don't know our enemy, we don't understand the strategy of our enemy, and we don't know how our weapon works. I mean, how is that going to go?
So
that is a fundamental problem to begin with.
I understand, and I completely accept that. But at the same time, I am still thinking that if the governments don't respond in some way, because be in a lose-lose situation. If they don't do anything, they're going to be criticized, and if they do do something, they're going to be criticized. Is that a fair statement to make?
I don't think so. What was this oath of, what's the name of the guy, Hippocrates?
Mm-hmm.
You know the oath?
The first, do no harm.
Okay. Well, I mean, it wouldn't matter if you start vaccinating people and even it doesn't work. Problem is that we induce a long-lived antibody response. And as a matter of fact, we know, I mean, that is not my knowledge, it's all published. Problem is that we fail to put the pieces of the puzzle together. Fact is that these long-lived antibodies, which have high specificity, of course, for the virus, they outcompete our natural antibodies. Because their natural antibodies, they have a very broad spectrum, but they have low affinity, right? And so by doing this, even if your antibodies don't work anymore, resistant or, you know, the strains are too different from the original strain, we still, this antibody, specific antibody, will still continue to outcompete your natural antibodies. And that is a huge problem because I was saying just a few minutes ago, these natural antibodies, they provide you with broad protection. This protection is, yes, it is variant non-specific. It doesn't matter what variant you get. It doesn't even matter what type of coronavirus is coming in. They will protect you. Unless, of course, you suppress this level of innate immunity or it is, for example, outcompeted by long-lived specific antibodies. And so it's not like, okay, you know, you missed it. Okay, let's try again. No, you did some harm. I mean, this is different from drugs. Immunizing somebody is installing a new software on your computer. Don't forget, I mean, these antibodies, they will be recalled every single time you're encountering a coronavirus, right? I mean, you cannot just erase this. So this is very serious.
This is not like a drug. This is very serious. This is, he uses the term long-lived antibodies. I'm going to use sort of a football way to describe. Now, I think this video is pretty clear, but I really want to make sure that we all get this because I actually learned something this week that I wasn't fully aware of, and now it is crystal clear. But let me see if I can help make it crystal clear for anybody that's sort of thinking about what he said. Now, here's what he is describing, and this is sort of, if you ever, you know, played any sports, soccer, football, hopefully this makes some sense to you. But on our team, in our immune system, we have what are called non-specific antibodies. They have, he called it broad spectrum. It's broad spectrum, low affinity. They don't care who is coming across. In this case, let's look at the other team. Let's say these are all variants of coronavirus. We got the A variant, F, T, R, L, Y, X, okay? Now, it doesn't matter who gets the ball in this case. When we have non-specific, anyone that comes across, so let's say X gets the ball, running back gets the ball, comes running over here, boom, right here, non-specific antibodies, boom, tackled, dead, not going anywhere. But let's say it's a different play. Let's say they decide they, you know, we're going to run Y. So they run Y with a roundabout coming through here, boom, it doesn't matter. Non-specific, we see the Y too. It doesn't matter. We're going to go after anything because it's non-specific. It's brilliant. These are brilliant antibodies you have as your natural immune system. What if it's a trick play? What if they toss it to A and over here tries to get through? Doesn't matter. Bam! Non-specific is going to go after the A variant too. This is how your immune system works, and it's fantastic. Now let's talk about what happens when we're given a vaccine. All right? Here we go. Let's go to the next one. So in this case, we're now going to move into vaccine-induced antibodies. As he said, they're long-lived. They don't go away. This isn't a drug that's going to wear off 2 days from now. We say, you know what? You had an allergic reaction. We're not going to do that drug anymore. It is in you forever. There's no getting this thing out. And what did it just do? It created what he called specific antibodies. Specific antibodies is now what we're going to discuss. So now in this scenario playing football, essentially everyone on the team has been told, you're looking for X. The antibody created, in this case, for the spike protein of SARS-CoV-2 that we first saw at the very beginning before there's any variants, Our vaccine is going to make you fight that really well. So how does it work? Well, it's great. The coach basically said, I know for a fact that X, the running back there, is going to get the ball. So everyone on the team tee on X. Great. So X gets the ball. Boom, comes through. It doesn't matter, man. They're all going to jump in there. Yeehaw! Yay, the vaccine's awesome. It totally it stopped the virus. Okay? But now here is the problem he's talking about. This entire team can only respond to X. It only understands that it's a specific, it's an antibody specific to the virus it's looking for. So what happens if Y gets the ball? What if the team, they know, it doesn't matter, the coach said it was going to be X, it doesn't matter. Y gets the ball, Y comes around, boom, goes through here, can go anywhere they want. X does nothing. Boom, win, we're in the end zone, we just won, virus wins the whole game. Because no one on the team was waiting for X, was planned for X. In fact, they were told, don't go near X. I mean, don't go near Y. Okay? All right. But here's something that I didn't understand. I understood that, and we've talked about that basically on the show, not in this way. But it goes one step further, and this is what I think. Oh, I did that wrong. Hold on one second. Boom. Bam. Here we go. All right. Here's what I did not understand about the immune system last week that I do now. When he says that the vaccine-induced antibodies are long-lived, it means they're going to be there forever. He also basically explains that they are more robust. The virus-specific antibodies, the specific ones, they're more robust, and they outcompete your non-specific natural immune antibodies. So in this case, you do have some natural non-specific antibodies in there that could handle any one of the variants. But the problem is these guys are bullies. They're bigger. They're stronger. They're more, you know, specific, and they're ready to do their job. So if Y gets the ball and starts coming around, our non-specific antibody is going to want to jump in there. Unfortunately, our vaccine-induced is going to push this out of the way and become a blocker to make sure that that antibody or that virus gets all the way in and wins and gets the touchdown and could possibly leave you dead. This vaccine is bullying away your remaining natural immune system. You do have these, but they're never going to work again. Do you realize how horrifying this is? Now think about the hundreds of millions of people that are lining up around the world, that are lined up outside of stadiums right now because CNN and Tony Fauci just said, I love this vaccine. Well, Geert here, one of the leading scientists in vaccine and immunology in the world, is telling you, everybody getting the vaccine is destroying their innate immune system. Those immune antibodies that were non-specific, that could have handled any of those thousands of variants we just saw you. They're designed for it. By being vaccinated, you just assured yourself that there are no antibodies inside of you to fight the variants. So if we have strayed far enough away from the vaccine-induced variant that we were looking at, the original spike protein, everyone that is vaccinated is now in horrible, horrible trouble. They're going to be attacked by variants, and their bodies will not mount a defense. We are talking about carnage like we've never seen.
And everybody injected are now legally a genetically modified organism, and that is because the mRNA from the virus is in your body. We don't know, it's not yet known if that mRNA integrates into the genes, you know, the chromosomes, but it must do. That's why it causes so much death. So that's why we need a biorepository to see what the mRNA is. If they have integration-like sequences in this mRNA, it will go into your chromosome. You will express it for the rest of your life. Potentially, it can go into your reproductive organs so that your children will be genetically modified organisms. You express the viral protein, you know, and you're human. That is the definition of a genetically modified organism. You have the DNA, RNA from another organism.
Well, I think that was it. They cut off on me. That's really scary.
It's very scary. And I know a lot of people that has already had their shot. And I wouldn't even, you know, I'm like, well, do I share this with them or do I not? Because, you know, I don't want to put them in a state of fear for what, you know, could be.
It's crazy. It is crazy. And, you know, what's really on top of it, there's been a news on the same subject. This came out yesterday. That not only, and I got to pronounce it, I'm going to mispronounce it, AstraZeneca, oh, close enough, right? They're coming out with a new vaccine, by the way. So right now, the old vaccine is having little problems, having little PR problems with blood clots and giving misinformation, and people are a little leery. They're working on a new vaccine, and this vaccine is supposed to help with the different variants of that vaccine. You know what I mean? It's variants of like the Brazilian variant and the New York variant. And so this is what AstraZeneca is doing. They're working on a new vaccine that's supposedly be attacking the different variants. And it's like, wait a minute, isn't this vaccine supposed to help that and protect you from that? But now you're working on a new one that protects you from different variants? And how far does that go? Okay, it protects you from the North Korea one, the African one, and a UK one. There is also a California one. There's also a New York one. So they're working on a vaccine to protect you from those variants. But see, here's where the problem is. And if you just listen to the video, the more shots you're taking, whether you believe it or not, the more shots that you are taking is killing your immune system. It's killing your immune system. So if you're taking more and more shots for different variants, I mean, how many different variants are going to be? Because it usually will go to different variants. Well, here it is right here. So here's the latest variants. Here's the latest on it, on the AstraZeneca one. I'm getting here. Great. Here it is. This is the latest news. What scientists do and don't know about the Oxford. Remember that AstraZeneca vaccine came from London, from Oxford. It's where they developed the vaccine. As of March 24th, which is today, here's the latest. What scientists do and don't know about the Oxford AstraZeneca COVID vaccine. Results confirming the vaccine's strong protection against the COVID-19 were welcome following last week's pause in the rollout. But fresh questions have now emerged about the data, or data, depending on what you want to use. Tomato, tomato. The road keeps getting bumpier for the vaccine that most researchers say is safe and effective, but it has a huge potential to protect large swaths, S-W-A-T-H-E-S, you know the word, of the world. Less than a day after the University of Oxford and the pharmaceutical firm AstraZeneca reported positive early results from the largest yet trial for their COVID-19 vaccine, officials at the U.S. government agency overseeing the trial questioned claims about the vaccine's efficacy. This is an updated version that came in March 24th. It's an updated version. The world, the species, depend on the vaccine. This is 2.5 billion people's worth of vaccine, says Eric Tupol. He's a physician, he's a scientist, and he's the director of the Scripps Research Translational Institute in La Jolla, California. There's questions lingering over this latest trial. He says it's a real mess. The latest development might amount to nothing more than a technicality, says another scientist. He's a virologist at the University of Leeds. Well, anyway, the news comes in a week after countries across Europe temporarily halted the rollout to review reports of the rare blood clotting condition in a very few vaccinated individuals. I like how they say in a very few, not just few, but very few vaccinated individuals. The vaccine has since been deemed safe by the EMA, the European Medical Agency, and continues to be recommended by the World Health Organization, WHO. They really need this out there. Amid the uncertainty, nature looks at everything we do and don't know about the AstraZeneca vaccine. Unlike many other vaccines, which are expensive and must be stored at a very low temperature, the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine can be kept in an ordinary fridge and cost a few dollars per dose. Now we're talking about money and cost effective. That's what the pharmaceutical company wants to hear. Money. Affordable. That perks your ears. Because it's also expected to be produced at a huge scale, it could play a vital role in quelling the pandemic. For the moment, in many countries, especially on the African continent, the AstraZeneca vaccine is the only one that will be available in substantial quantities. Another scientist is saying that. The vaccine has received regulatory approval in more than 100 countries and should be used with confidence. That's what another. Her name is Christine. She's a director of Australia's National Center for Immunization Research in Australia. That's what she said. It has received regulatory approval. That's what she said. More than 20 million doses have been administered in the EU countries and in the United Kingdom, as have a further 27 million in India, or of a version of the vaccine known as a COVID shield. The COVID shield. It's another version of it. Do we really need a version of the AstraZeneca? I'm going to read on. The vaccine is also being delivered through the COVAX scheme to dozens of low- and middle-income countries. Why not? AstraZeneca has committed 170 million doses to COVAX and plans overall to produce 3 billion doses by the end of 2021. Now, you're going to ask, how effective is the vaccine? Because you're hearing all these rumors and all this other stuff. I'll tell you, on March 22nd, the company said in a press release, they had found two doses to be 79% effective at preventing COVID-19. In a trial of 32,000 people, adults across the United States, Peru, and Chile, no participants who have received a vaccine were hospitalized or died, even though 60% had pre-existing conditions associated with increased risk of severe disease, such as diabetes and obesity. Only 141 cases of COVID-19 were reported overall. Only 141 cases of COVID-19 were reported overall. Although the breakdown of those who did not receive the vaccine has not been revealed. So they didn't really do the studies on the people who did not receive it. They just did the study on the people who received it. So I don't know how accurate this report is. And why didn't they do the study of the people who might have got a placebo? Or did the study on the people who have not received the vaccine? See, here's where people get a little concerned. Something is not. If you're going to do a study, shouldn't I complete the study of the people who received the vaccine, and then we do the study versus the people who have not received the vaccine so we can see the effect of the vaccine? But they didn't do that with the AstraZeneca vaccine. The following day, the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease, NIAID, they said in an independent data safety monitoring board, DSMB, they're the ones who oversee the trial, They even had concerns that the AstraZeneca could have presented outdated information. They have concerns. You're not giving us the information. You're giving us outdated. Why are you giving us outdated information? Because probably the outdated information is probably pro, which, and that's why we're going to use that, because of our other information, the updated information is in our favor. We're going to give you that. See, this is another question. This is why people don't trust each other. This is another question. This is question. Here we go. 918 and 912. I think my lovely Laverne's back. And 918, I think this is Angela. Hello, Angela.
Yes, it
baby.
Is. Hello, Angela. Hi, Laverne.
There you go. This is information you should know. And, Angela,
mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that you listen. Is this good information that you are getting? And
well,
is it read correctly?
If they're duplicating information, doing a copy-paste in their so-called study, you know,
mm-hmm.
why don't they have a third party doing the study? You know, they have
why
a vested
not?
Interest in this when they own the copyright to the vaccine. So can you
right.
really trust the study? You know,
right.
I'm not getting the vaccine yet, but I come from a family that's had severe vaccine reactions, so that
mm-hmm.
makes my plight a little bit different. What say
right.
you, Laverne?
No, Angela, I would not be receiving the vaccine because it's too much uncertainties. And
mm-hmm.
the
yes.
more that I listen, the more that I really think, okay, I'm not. That won't even be a thought in the future.
I hear you.
And you know,
you know,
I don't
but
know if you...
there's all these people getting sick and dying and have long-term COVID symptoms.
Sure.
But
sure.
you know, if you're a person that has vaccine reactions in the history of your family, you should think twice. Now, I'm pro-life, and some of these vaccines have human diploid cells, which are harvested from aborted fetal cells, usually the lungs of a female fetus that was aborted.
Mm-hmm.
So like the flu vaccine always has human diploid cells in it. You know, then you bring in that DNA. Does it affect your DNA? That I don't
sure.
know. But,
sure.
These
are valid facts
no.
to consider.
They
Angela,
did a
that's
study.
What they did. Okay,
yes, go ahead, Brian. No. Go ahead, Laverne.
I was telling Angela that's what they were saying with the clip that Brian played first, that
mm-hmm.
this vaccine is going to override your normal
DNA.
DNA, and so you know you end up being like generically modified.
Right.
Yes.
And there were cases just came out last week, and not last week, maybe 2 days ago, maybe Monday, that they did a study. Apparently these women are having babies, and they had to they were vaccinated before they gave birth.
Oh, no.
And then they studied the baby, and they found out that the antibody in the vaccine is inside the baby now.
Huh.
And they're saying that the baby now has the antibodies thanks to the vaccine. Now,
well, that would be a happy accident.
That would, wouldn't it? But then we're not seeing the other effect of that baby because, see, now listening to you two, I started to think because I'm thinking about the long haulers. You guys heard about the long haulers, right? These are people who had the virus.
Mm-hmm.
And they have long lingering side effects of their lungs and
true.
Breathing. It's true like this. So
Brian,
we're caught between a rock and a hard place.
It,
yes.
Right. Because in that clip that you played, he said
right.
that scientists said that once you get that vaccine, it will go nowhere. You have it for life.
Mm.
Parts of it
mm-hmm.
can stay in your body, and I really haven't looked at the ingredients of them, but if it has thimerosal, which the flu vaccine has thimerosal,
mm-hmm.
the ethyl mercury that's within thimerosal will never leave your body. mercury has an effect on the brain if it passes through the blood-brain barrier. So there's a lot of things to consider. But I know no one wants to catch this virus. No one wants any of their loved ones to catch it and die from it. Mm-hmm. So it's a complicated decision to make.
It's a very complicated decision. It's not a win-win here. Especially with the misinformation that we're hearing. And the problem that we have here, folks, and a lot of people are still like Angela and like Laverne. They don't believe the government finding. They don't believe the scientists. A lot of people don't like Fauci because of Trump. Fauci now became political, whether you like him or not. And when you don't
believe he's got dirty hands to begin with, Brian.
Sure.
Yeah.
And when you don't believe the lead scientists of disease control, we're in trouble. We're on our own. It's a wild, wild west here.
But he has dirty hands. I don't think how anyone can give full confidence in what he has to say. I mean, it is his world. I mean, that's his language. But he has dirty hands. He's done, I don't want to say nefarious things, but he was deceitful, and a lot of it was about money.
Right.
Yep.
It's all about money, Angela.
About money.
It's all. And I was talking to Laverne and Melissa the other day when I'm saying you wait 2 years. I don't even think it's going to be 2 years. You wait. What they're going to do is combine the COVID thing, your cough, your flu medicine, nasal medicine, whatever. You're going to see on the shelf, I guarantee you, nasal spray. It'll be COVID nasal spray, COVID cough medicine, COVID this, COVID that. The things that you, if you have a headache, there's going to be COVID headache relief because the pharmaceutical companies are going to take advantage of it.
Well, yeah, just like flu relief. You know, you get flu pills to help with the symptoms. But the nasal spray, it also has thimerosal in it. So if you're using any type of nasal spray and your family's sensitive to certain ingredients, you might want to think twice.
Sure. But that's coming because the pharmaceutical companies are making it into a pill form or a nasal spray or a cough syrup. I guarantee you it'll be COVID. Mark my words today. It will be on the market within 6 months. Oh, yeah.
I don't have much time this morning, but, you know, in talking about the vaccines, you can go to the VAERS database, V-A-E-R-S database, which is monitored by the CDC. It's where your doctor, if you have a vaccine reaction, by law, he has to report it to this database. And I believe there's people that have died from the Moderna vaccine. I think it's a couple hundred, if I'm not mistaken. But, and I could be mistaken, so go look for yourself. And you can look at any vaccine and see what type of side effects they've had, you know, up to and including death. You know, I think that's a good tool for anyone to use. I'm looking at the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, but I haven't looked at it in detail because it hasn't come to a pharmacy near me. But I'm concerned about catching COVID. And but yet, at the same time, vaccines have almost killed a member of my family, a close member.
Sure.
So
I have one.
What
too,
to do? That. And I had 3 surgeries after a flu shot. So
really,
you know, I have reason to have trepidation.
So
it was within a 6-month period.
Really? So after you have taken a flu shot, you had some symptoms that required surgery?
My organs had problems, like the thyroid. I had some weird thing, and it would swell out, and I would be hospitalized because I couldn't breathe, you know. If your thyroid swells out so far, it cuts off your air, you know, just a lot of different things I had to go through, but, you know, that's behind me.
Sure, and this is more potent, of course, and that's what I'm trying to say is absolute. And before you leave, and thanks for coming in, you notice I'm treating you a lot nicer, Angela? You know that?
Well, you're being more data-focused, and I like that. I like that a lot, and thank you. Laverne, he had issues yesterday. I called in yesterday. So I started using the code word politics. I'm married to politics, you know.
Yeah, I was listening to this show yesterday. I heard.
Oh, you were?
Yes.
I think I handled him quite well, though.
You did. Kudos.
But this is a serious topic and a good topic to talk about.
Sure, it really is. There's just too much misinformation out there. And here it is before you leave. People are wondering, here it is. How safe is the vaccine? Now, you got to remember the source, everybody. You know, when you read an article, and Angela's right and Laverta's right, when you read something, you got – see, people don't remember to look at the source. And if the source is some kind of web page or blog, you might want to Google it and get many different opinions on whatever subject that is affecting you. Is that correct? Does anybody know what I'm talking
about? Go to the source. Go to the source, like the VIRS database.
Sure. And then you can find the answer maybe you're looking for, because this world with nobody trusts anybody. How safe is the vaccine? The question looms large over the past week in Europe when more than 20 countries, they paused for this rollout. They just said, hold on, AstraZeneca, not too fast. So they're wanting to know, how safe is this? Well, they didn't really give me an answer. They just gave me 20 countries paused the rollout after scattered reports of rare blood, I like how they use the word, rare blood clotting conditions, mostly in women age 55 or younger. See, we kind of thought older, but younger. Rare blood clotting conditions, mostly in women age 55 or younger. This is some of the things, some of the questions that they have that this vaccine can cause. They said a EMA expert committee said on March 18th that the vaccine was safe and was not associated with a high risk of blood clotting. That's what they said. But they couldn't rule out
their idea of safe is different from what the layperson's idea is safe.
That is true. That is true. But here's the catch.
And they're looking at big numbers, not small numbers.
You're absolutely right. Because, see, an EMA expert, and who knows, you know, when they say expert, they're not mentioning the person. Again, I'm trying to give you some information. When they say expert, or we heard from this, or a whistleblower this, or someone told us this, name the person so we can do research on a person. Don't just say it's an EMA expert. That's a warning sign for me, especially how dangerous this is, right? Name the person so we can research who this person is.
Right.
So that's a warning sign. An EMA expert committee said on March 18th that the vaccine was safe, but they couldn't rule out a link with two very rare and serious clotting conditions, and one of them which affects the blood vessel, which drains from the brain. It suggested that these potential risks be stated on the product packaging, but AstraZeneca said, no, we're not going to do that.
Well, they have to.
Not going to do it.
Yeah, if it's a proven side effect, they have to list it.
Right, but they said no. We're not going to put. It was very rare that this happened. Very rare that you got a brain disease, and very rare. So we're not going to put it on there. We did a lot of research. 3,000.
That's wrong. There's common side effects, rare side effects.
Right.
Go to the freaking hospital if you have these side effects. Are all in the insert. Yeah, even autism is listed as a side effect with the MMR.
Right. You're right. Even an aspirin, it'll have it listed. But here's what AstraZeneca said. Well, you know what?
Oh, boy.
They didn't identify it as any kind of safety concerns. We're not going to do it. I mean, it's very rare. We're not going to do it. We're not going to label it. We're not going to. This is what's killing our public announcements. No, we're not going to do it. But they're saying, we hope this reassures you that it's very rare. This is AstraZeneca. We're trying to assure the public that it's very rare that this has ever happened. I hope that Anne, who works at AstraZeneca, says, you know, people are falsely saying that this disease is going to harm you and that you're going to get blood clots, even though it has caused some blood clots and brain disorder. But it's rare. It's rare. You guys are attacking us. That's what they're basically saying. It said there's a scientist in Norway. Here we go with the scientists. And in Germany have reported one possible mechanism by which the vaccine could have caused rare blood clotting condition as well as possible treatment. In Norway and Germany has reported that it causes rare. I'm using the word rare, blood clotting. If it happens to you, it's not rare. So there you go. So we're fighting PR publicity. We're fighting the government. We're fighting, it's all about money and budget, and it's easier to use, and you don't have to put it in a refrigerator. This is what they're claiming. It's 79% effective. It says here, the lack of evidence of the blood clotting means that countries, including Germany, they initially didn't approve the vaccine for those age 65 and older. Germany said no. But Germany later revised their guidelines to include all adults after reviewing studies from England and Scotland. First, Germany said no, but then they thought about it, and they approved it. And now Germany has revised their statement, England, Scotland. They said these studies showed strong protection against hospitalization, death, and disease. Now they revise it, and they're for it. And this is why people do not trust information, even from our own government or from the CDC. And when you think we're waiting to hear from the CDC, you got to remember something about the CDC. Most people don't know this. The CDC works under the whatever president administration there is, Trump administration, the CDC. In fact, Trump hijacked the CDC's webpage. So they work for the federal government. CDC used to be an independent, but not anymore. They're working with the administration. So now you don't even trust the CDC. And if I had my headphones, and I'll do it tomorrow, I will call the CDC, and they pick up the phone and question them. But they used to be an independent person, the Center of Disease Control, but not anymore. They're political, and they're owned by the federal government, so you can't even trust them. The only thing you can truly trust is go to who? Go to World Health Organization. They still have somewhat credibility.
I don't
anyway,
even trust them. I don't. I really don't.
I hear you. Mm-hmm. And see, that's the problem. When we don't trust these, who do we trust, Laverne? What do we do? What is your guideline? How do you keep yourself safe? You know, I hear you. And you have every right not to trust them.
But like I said, I believe I can listen to my inner compass.
Right.
It works for me.
Right. Right. Well,
Angela gone?
You're right. Angela had to go bye-bye. And we're gonna have a quick show
Angela
today.
Angela made it quiet.
Mm-hmm. I know. This is the first time Angela is so quiet. That's because she's gone. She had things she got to do. It's only 24 minutes left in the show, and we're going to go an hour and a half show today. I have never done that before. Actually, it's going to be a little bit more than an hour and a half. Most shows go an hour. There you go. So we went over a couple of things, and we went over love and vaccine. And I was going to say this. You know, Justin Bieber, you know who he is? You know, the musician.
I do. Mm-hmm.
Well, he got married at a younger age. He got married at 21, but this is what's really interesting. And we're going back to the love thing. Hailey Bieber is the one he married. And she made a statement today, 18 hours ago. She said, Hailey Bieber said she lived enough life at 21 to marry Justin Bieber at age 21. Here's what a therapist says about maturing and marrying young. Now, I happen to not believe in therapy. I do not believe it. I think it's witch doctory. I understand that there's some couples that need to talk to somebody who's not on either side and they want to get a different opinion, but I really don't believe that there is such thing as a therapist. I don't believe in therapists. I don't believe in psychologists. I don't believe in psychiatrists. Each individual is not from one book that they read 10 years ago and a study that they did 20 years ago that makes up the human DNA, the human psyche. And they know all the answers. I can go to a therapist, I'm a black guy, and he's going to tell me, well, you know, Brian, this is the problem. Really? well, I was brought up in this area and this culture and everything, and you're telling me that this is my problem. Yeah, you have separation problems, really. Well, I have no problem leaving this office. So you're wrong, Doc. I'm out the door. See, fix my separation problems. In fact, I'm going to separate my money from your bill. I have no problem with separation issues. It works. Thank you, Dr. Security. I have no problem with separation issues. But if you really think about it, I mean, when there's people, they put too much on some human being that they don't know, that don't know them, is going to decide, and they don't cure you. I have never seen a psychiatrist or psychologist ever cure anyone. They don't cure you. In fact, they say that when you talk to them, because I've been to one. What do you think, Doc? I don't know. What do you think? Well, Doc, that's why I'm with you. Well, how do you feel? This is how it works. They're there not to cure you. They're there just to sit there and listen to you. And if you ask them a direct question, anybody went to a therapist or going to a therapist, they won't answer. I even went to one. I said, well, Doc, do you think I'm crazy? I actually said this. Well, Brian, do you think you're crazy? That's what I'm asking you, Doc. Well, how do you feel? I feel a little nuts. Well, what's making you feel? I mean, this is the double talk. I'm being honest. I'm not even doing a bit. This is the double talk. Well, what's making you feel nuts? Really, Doc? I just sat here about an hour telling you why I feel this way and why my actions are this way. Well, let's think about your actions, okay? What's making you act on your act? This is what they do. I am not joking. Am I right, Laverne? I mean, whatever you heard, this is what they do. This is what therapists do. They're not there to fix you. And that's why you're there for 10 years, because you want somebody to talk about, somebody to talk with you, and you're thinking that they're fixing you. They're not there to fix you. In fact, let me give you a little secret. I had a friend of mine. We used to play tennis all the time. We worked, and I was in university. He was in university. And he switched his major. He wanted to be a psychiatrist. Fine. So he became a psychiatrist and everything. We lost touch after he graduated, and he became a psychiatrist. I got in contact with him 10 years later, and I said, hey, how you doing, John? He goes, hey, I haven't heard from you in a long time. I go, hey, John, let's get together. He goes, well, when you want to get together. True story, this is how the conversation went. Now he's a psychiatrist. Well, yeah, when you want to get together, I go, I miss playing tennis. Let's play tennis. Okay, we'll play tennis. Well, when you want to do it? I said, let's do it Saturday. He goes, this is a true conversation. Well, I can't do it Saturday. I go, why can't you do it Saturday? Because I have this group to go to. I'm making up a group, but he was saying a real group, okay? Parents without partners.
Mm-hmm.
Bottom line, mm-hmm. I go, okay, well, that's Saturday. Well, how about Sunday? Well, I can't go to Sunday. True story. Okay, what do you mean? Because I got to go to this group, you know, separation issues or people. Bottom line, we went through the whole week, and each week he went to some kind of counseling group. He's a psychiatrist now. I said, John, what are you doing? He goes, what do you mean what I'm doing? I go, why are you going to these groups? Well, I like to go to these groups because, you know, I need a little help. You're a psychiatrist now. Why are you going? He goes, let me tell you, Brian. I'll tell you why. When anybody learns to be, you know why people be psychiatrists or psychologists? Because they have problems. They're nuts. And they're thinking how to fix themselves. And it doesn't work. So he is now addicted to these groups. That he doesn't even have a life anymore. Now, that's one guy. I mean, a lot of other psychiatrists, I don't know. I just go by one guy.
Hmm.
So when you ever go to a therapist, and if you are in therapy right now, tell me if I'm wrong. They will never give you a direct answer. They can't. They could be sued. They don't want to give you a direct answer. They will talk out of their ass. Hey, Doc, I don't feel black, but I'm in front of you. I'm a black man. They will say, why don't you feel black? Well, I went to an Ivy League school in a white neighborhood and everything like this. I'm not connected to my people, and I feel disassociated with being with my blackness. Well, this could cause by this issue here. What makes you uncomfortable? You see where it's going, and this can drag out for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
It can drag out for an hour.
Question.
Exactly. You know? And it's like you leave there going, I'm so confused. Well, we'll talk about it next Tuesday, 1 o'clock. Okay. All right. Thank you for coming in. And then you think, as a psychiatrist, if I'm a psychiatrist, I got to put three kids in school. You think I'm going to fix this dude? This dude is coming in every week and paying me like $200 a session. You, really? My goal is not to fix this dude. My goal is to prolong this so I can get little Buffy into Harvard. They're human beings. They got an agenda. And that takes me to the story. Thank you. And it takes me to the story about Hailey Bieber saying, you know, she lived enough life at 21 to marry Justin Bieber. And this is what she says. She said she had lived enough life before marrying Justin Bieber at 21. The therapist. Well, okay, let's bring in the therapist. You know, in Hollywood, a therapist is like part of the resume. If you don't have a therapist, you haven't made it. You know what I mean? It's a thing. It's a thing. Going to therapy. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Before we used to think crazy, it's a thing, like a new jacket or some bling. The therapists say that having many life experience doesn't necessarily prepare someone to marry young. Young people considering marriage should ask their partners about core values before tying a knot. What? This is common sense, Paul. Basically, what the therapist is saying with the gobbledygook is you should know the person who you're going to marry. That's gobbledygook, what it basically said. Young people considering marriage should ask their partners about core values before tying it. What the hell is that? Core values before tying the knot? See, again, this is therapist gobbledygook. It meant nothing. What do you mean a young person considering marriage should ask their partners about their core values before tying in? What does that mean, core values? See, this is the kind of – yeah.
I would assume, you know, their belief system as your core value.
Right. But they don't say that. They talk in this gobbledygooky poopy doopy talk. So Hailey, she had a whirlwind marriage to singer Justin Bieber that shocked the world in 2018, in part because of how insanely young they were together. That's what she told. Of course, she's telling this to a magazine, Elle. She's a model. And, you know, now with social media, they give you another title. If you're social media, it's a new title now. They're called influencers. So they even list it as like it's a vocation. She's a model and an influencer. And what an influencer is that she tweets. And maybe a lot of people are following her. So that's called an influencer. So that's her job. I'm a model and I tweet.
And
I'm an influencer.
How old did you say she is?
She's 24 now, but she was 21 when they got married.
When she got married. So what age, I mean, well, I guess it's all ages for models. Okay.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, be honest, at 24, you're on the cusp. When you're 27, you're too old to be a model. Let's just say it. You're not going to be modeling any runway. When you hit 30, you're out of there. It's retirement age. I'm sorry, that's how it is. You know what I mean? And the reason they say, well, how come 30 you're out? It's because the people who buy the clothes are from the age of 16 to usually 26. That's when they buy the clothes. Usually a woman will get involved in a relationship and she gets married and they're thinking about other things. So that's where the money is. It's called, that's the big, 18 to 35 is the age where all the advertisers will target, 18 to 35. So, there you go. So she said, told the publication that while she was only 21 when she said, I do, she had lived enough life. That's it. I lived everything I want to know. I'm 21. I lived my life. And she knew it was the right decision for her to get married. A marriage in your early 20s was the norm less than 50 years ago, but the rise of women in the workplace and the decline of rigid gender roles has caused many to hold out, which is true. It's because women long ago, their vocation was to marry a man, have two children, have a nice home. That's what the, whether you like it or not, that's how it was in the 50s and the 60s and sometimes in the 70s. Women are now professional and look at the Congress, and God bless them. Women are now professionals. They're waiting longer. They're going to university. They're graduating with honors. They're waiting longer to get married. They don't want to lose their identity. And you know what's really funny? I know I can stretch this out, but Laverne, I want your opinion. You know what's really funny? I talk to women who are over 45, and a lot of them who have been in relationships and they're no longer in a relationship, whether they got a divorce or whether their person died. And the older you get, the more this reasoning is right. So I talk to them, and they're happy, they're single. I even talked to my girlfriend, and I said, you know, if I pass, she goes, I'm not going to get back in a relationship. Why should I? And I find women older are not interested in getting a relationship, and men are saying, why? Because, guys, you don't really understand that when a woman, if she's married, and whether she's divorced or she just got single, chances are she already had the children. And she put up with your shit. You know what I mean? All right. Mm-hmm. The children are gone. She is now looking at you and say, you know what? You're a fool. Why did I marry? Whatever happened. That's dissolved. When a woman gets to be 45 and older, she's not even looking. And I'm just saying not every woman. Majority of them are not looking to get a boyfriend or marriage again because they went through that. And they, God, do they need, a woman 45 and older does not need to take care of a man. Let's just face it. And the problems that he may have, they went through that. They're discovering their individuality. They want to do what they want to do. They don't want to be tied to a certain thing. And if you're a man who's 46 and you've got problems or you got ties and everything, women don't want to deal with that. They're free. They got a taste of freedom. They could go on vacations. They're professionals. The last thing they want to do is be tied up to a man who is 50 years old with medical problems. He may have medical problems of 50, 55. You know what I mean? She's not going to go through that. She's in no hurry to get into a relationship. Am I correct, Laverne? I mean, just, you know, talking about this.
Those financial, like you said, professionals that is making their own money.
Right.
Yes, you're correct.
Right. They don't want to go there because women are now making, you're right, making their own money. They're professionals. They went to the workplace. And even if they sacrifice that for while the kids were young and 18, they tend to go, you know, I miss being an architect. And I got enough knowledge. I could work at home and I could do a home business. I have enough knowledge. Women now have so many options and their own money. And it's all about money, guys, because back in the day, it's like, okay, there's a glass ceiling. They're not hiring women. I might need another income. Okay, I'll take you. You're less of an asshole than the asshole I was with. So they may get into a relationship financially. But when you got a lot of women now who are professional, they don't need your money. And they don't need your bullshit. They don't. And they
nope.
And not only do they don't need it, they don't want it. So when you get a woman into the 45s and 46s and 47s and you know, the kids are going to college and the husband is acting like an asshole and she says, you know what? I'm going to enjoy my life. And I got a feeling that this is a thing. I got a feeling that women are saying, you know, I'm 45, like the seven-year itch. I'm looking around. I can travel anytime I want to. I can be, you know what I mean? There's no rules and no
rules.
You get it's like a taste of freedom, right? It's a taste of freedom.
Yeah.
Why go back?
They can still get their groove, and then you go home, and they go home.
Right. And that's another thing that's changing. And I have talked to a lot of women. They go, you know, I get my groove on. I want to send his. I don't even want him spending the night. I've talked to women like
mm-hmm.
that. Get the hell out of my house.
Mm-hmm.
Go on. And men haven't caught up with that yet. Men have not caught on to that yet. Because a man,
but you know,
a man will go, yeah, men are going, well, honey, I can hear the conversation all over America. The last kid is going to college. It's an empty nest thing. And that's death to a man because then she starts looking around and realizes the only reason she stayed in that relationship is for the kid. And now it's an empty nest and two of you are talking together, nobody around, and she's looking around going, I don't have anything in common with you except for the kid. Except for the kid. Kid gone. So are you.
And that's why you have some men out there, they're looking
mm-hmm.
for women that are needy. Because
right.
some men needs to be needed, you know, so they look for
That's
the ones
right.
that, you know, don't have a great job. And like I said, just need it needed.
Right. And they're less and less because right now in school, I mean, my kid, the grandkid came over and you heard her on the phone. She's 8 years old and she's already doing algebra. Algebra.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know how.
Yeah. Me
and
either.
Exactly. What happened to new math? We're past that.
Shoot, I stayed away from algebra. Shoot, as long as you could take the curriculums that you wanted to,
exactly.
I stayed away from the hard ones.
Exactly. These new, and so, and men are getting more and more, and I say this all the time, more and more weak and more sensitive and more caring, as millennial care for this champion looking for a cause, while women are getting more and more, I don't want to use professional, but more and more career-oriented. Career-oriented, I'll use that. Even though the women are still activists, and when you got a woman activist, she's not a dumb activist. She's a smart activist. She's on her way to get her degree. She's starting an organization. She's on move.org, and meaning that moveyouout.org. She's getting more independent.
Mm-hmm.
You're absolutely right. And men are still sitting there saying, you need me. And they're still falling into, I am a man. I must take care of you. It takes two of us to raise a child. I am the man of the house. And if you look at the statistics, majority of the women are the top wage earners in the home now. A lot of men are unemployed, and a lot of women are now the top earners of the house. So, men, you got to catch up. You got to realize that you are with a professional. And when you have, and I'm right now, we're still old school. We're still, hey, boomer, I understand right now with the emptiness. But you have to understand now that that little lady of yours is on the internet. You know what I mean? While you're out with the guys and while you're watching March Madness, she is talking on the internet. She's looking at social events. She's looking at this. She is
yeah.
opening her mind.
Networking.
Yes, she's networking while you're sitting there with a beer. You know, I have another beer. Honey, get it. She's up there. You do it yourself. I'm working on something. See, that's the warning sign. You better wake up and go, what are you working on, sweetheart? Nothing. Uh-huh.
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing. Uh-huh. You better take that saying, because when that emptiness goes, you're going to be alone. And you're not equipped to take care of yourself. Men are not equipped to take care of themselves. I don't care if they get mad at me, Laverne, you know what I'm talking about. Any woman who is married or living together, men, you do not know how to take care of yourself. You don't even know how to do the laundry.
But they don't be trying. They don't be trying because as long as they have a woman, that you know, they let them take care of. So if they ever went without, that's why you didn't even find men that cannot be alone, you
right.
know, because they don't know how to take care of themselves or the household.
That you are 100%. You're right, because they can't. They can't be left alone. They can't leave the house without asking their wife, how do I look, you know, and she will tell them, are you going out like that? I guess not. But besides that, they cannot be. I know me. Cindy does not leave me alone. She tried to buy one of those adult things that, you know, what you do with the kids, that you tie a tether thing to the kid and to the adult to make sure so they don't go away
mm-hmm.
too far, like they give you 2 feet, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, I'm not wearing that. Because, but what she did, what Cindy did was very smart. And I talked to a friend of mine, and he goes, what are you doing? And I said, this is a regular conversation. I said, I got to do the laundry. He goes, you got to what? I got to do the laundry. He goes, what do you mean do the laundry? What's happening, dude? What's going on? He's like, there's a big concern in my household. I mean, you
mm-hmm,
right?
mm-hmm.
I'm going, yeah, everything's cool. Are you sure you're okay? You're doing the laundry? Well, I got to do laundry because I'm cooking something, and I don't want it to burn, so I'm tired. You're what? You're cooking something. Man, if you need somebody to talk to, I'm right here, bro. I go, what are you talking about?
Yeah, that's
you know
unusual,
what I mean?
Man.
Yeah. Right? You got a woman there, what? What? You're cooking, dude? And you're doing the laundry? I mean, you got some problems, you know? I'm just saying, I'm a friend. I go, it's not, no, I said, well, then I got into a conversation. When was the last time you did laundry? Shit. I'm not doing no woman's. They asked it, Laverne. I'm not doing no. I got married, man. What's wrong with you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, every Sunday she asked me what needs to be washed. She's going, you know, and everything like that. I just put my clothes in. She does the shit. I go, when was the last time you did laundry? Yeah, I haven't done laundry since I was. I've never done no laundry. I said, so you don't know how to wash the clothes and what to do. You know, this is a real conversation. He goes, what the hell are you talking about? You're turning into a fag, man. I go, what are you talking about? You have to talk to me about detergent and about handy wipes that you put in. I go, it's not no handy wipes. You put it in the dryer and it uncleans. He goes, are we having this conversation? What the hell is wrong with you?
What is it called? A dry sheet or handy wipes?
Yeah. Handy wipes. Two men talking. What's going on? You put the handy wipe in there, boy. What the handy wipe? But that's a real conversation. He goes, well, what are you cooking? I go, I swear. When I saw some recipes, brother, what's happening to you? I mean, you used to be a man. I mean, what's going on with that woman? She just took everything away from you. You're talking about recipes and handy wipes. I go, man, you better learn how to cook. I don't need to cook. It's what the bitch is for. I go, you call her a bitch? Yeah, bitch you up. I go, do you call her a bitch in front of her? No, I don't tell her. I'm not no fool. So you're telling everybody else that she's a bitch, but you're not going to say this. So you're disrespecting. This is an actual conversation. You're disrespecting your woman. He goes, how am I disrespecting my woman? The bitch is, she likes to hear. I go, do you know when you're talking to your friends? See, now he realizes I'm changing. You realize when you're talking to your friends and you're calling your woman a bitch, you're disrespecting your woman, and how can I respect your woman if you're already labeling her as a bitch? He goes, what the fuck are you talking about, bro? What the fuck happened to you? You turned fag on me. That woman took your balls. I go, she didn't take my balls. She opened my eyes. Because when that woman leaves, and I like what she did, and I realize even when I first met Cindy, we kept our individuality. Cindy doesn't give me no slack. She'll come out to this day, I'm doing the laundry. I go, that's good. Do you have anything you need? Yeah, I mean, I need my Levi's and this and this. She goes, mm-hmm. I said, well, since you're doing the laundry, can I just put, no, you're not putting your cross. He has this rule, you're not putting your shit with my shit. I go, what are you talking about? It's just the Levi's. You want? No, I don't like your shit with my shit. You get up and good at yourself. I started doing my laundry. I could do laundry now. I could cook. I could take care of myself. You know what I mean? The hard part, you hit the nail on the head. Men get lonely. And when they get lonely, they get infantile. They're lost. They are completely lost. And I will admit it, when Cindy used to go visit her grandchildren and she leaves for 2 weeks, I sit there and look at the walls. What am I going to do? Seriously. Seriously. I don't have anybody here to lead me this or cook for me or do my laundry or even just clean. Now, men, there's two different things. I hate to tell you. There is straightening up and there's cleaning. And most men do not know how to clean. Laverne, they don't know how to clean.
Yep. They straighten up.
They just straighten up, you know, for the eyes. Oh, you come in the house. Oh, this house looks all right. And every shit is in the closet and everything. Don't go in there, brother. You know, shit falls out.
Yeah.
Men do not know. There's a big difference between straightening up and cleaning. There's a big. One time, the first time she left, I just straightened up. And then she looked at the corner of the walls, and I found out about cleaning. And how I found out about it, she came in and she looked around. She goes, it looks nice. And then she looked at the wall, and the corner of the wall, there was a spider web. She goes, what's that? How did a spider get in here? Because, you know, when she cleans, you know what I'm talking about. You're doing sometimes you'll do the corners and all that kind of stuff. There's spiders growing in my head. I got spider webs in the corner. Mm-hmm. You didn't clean. What are you talking about? There's spider webs in here and the walls because you put your hands on the thing and you didn't clean the walls that you put your hand on. I go, you clean that too?
You didn't dump the food out of the strainer in the sink after you done get your dish rolled out?
Oh, hell no. Yes. that stench was, you could smell, she smelled it from the, I see her get out of the car, and I saw her nose. You just got out of the Uber car, and you go, I go, what the hell? I mean, to me, I lived it. I'm living it. I don't smell it. She came in and said, what the hell is it? Then I said, garbage disposal broke. She goes, what do you mean garbage disposal broke? And I turned it on and just went, It didn't go, well, did you put your hand in there and get the food out and everything? I'm not putting my hand in there. That's gross. Boy, get out of the kitchen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then she fixed it. I go, how did it work? She goes, you clean it out. You do. Bottom line, guys. What's going to kill you, especially if you're over 45, you are not prepared to take care of yourself. Your woman will leave you because she's not about to take care of a grown-ass man. And don't think she's not thinking that. She's not. She just had kids who just left. She's independent. She doesn't need. She can go somewhere else and get somebody better than you because she's in the workforce. That's somebody who could take care of themselves. Just a simple thing of lifting up a toilet seat. Just something simple that we could take for granted. So, man, you got to take. So the bottom line, you got to learn how to do this shit and start taking care of yourself. And the bottom line, a lot of women, 45 and older, after the empty nest, don't think it's going to be the same thing because she's networking, like Laverne said. She's getting woke, and you're still asleep. You know? She's trying, and
yeah.
The woman is trying to make it work. She's going to try to wake you up, and you're still snoozing. She's not going to stay there long. So, yeah, it's hard. And women, I find that women who are 45 and older, they don't need a man. Those days are gone. They want a man when they want it, and then they get rid of him when they don't want it. This is the new attitude of 45 and older, and they are not going to date nobody 60, and they're not going to date nobody 55 because they don't want no medical problems in taking care of a man. And that's another thing, guys. You got to keep your health up. You got to get in shape because there's a lot of people, I don't care if they're 45, 47, they're beautiful women, beautiful, strong women, 45, 55, 65, 75, beautiful, strong women out there. But these are a different kind of woman that you're used to. They're independent. They've been on their own for a while. They're retired. They're looking and they're investing. And they're not going to take care of your stupid ass. They're not. So you better get your shit together, right, Laverne? Not going to do it.
Yes. Yes, for both, for men and women, for those women that that look for men to take care of them, same for them.
Right. Not going to do it. And you'll be sitting there like I was the first time. What the hell's going on? See, the loneliness kills you, though. The loneliness kills you because you don't even know how to take care of yourself. You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do. And that goes with Justin Bieber, and that goes with the long story short, about 21 years old, and this woman says she's 21 years old, and she lived all the life she needs to live, and that's why she got married. That's coming from a 21-year-old.
Well, that's how long she stayed married.
Right. That's, you're absolutely right. But remember, she has a therapist. She has a therapist. Uh-huh. And you know what I mean? She has a therapist, and that's what she says. She says here, she was 21 when she said, I do. Marriage in the 20s was the norm less than 50 years ago. Yeah, right. While there is no ideal age to marry, says Victoria Goldberg, a therapist, not only a therapist, she's a psychotherapist. Now, there is a warning. There's a psychiatrist, a therapist, but when you're going to a psychotherapist, what about that word psycho? Crazy people, why go to a crazy therapist? But this is a psychotherapist who deals with the mind. Already you're in trouble. So this Victoria psychotherapist told the newspaper about their marriage. It says people raised in certain cultures may be more prepared for marriage in their early 20s. So now we're going with the cultures. It says some cultures prepare people for marriage in their late teens and early 20s, making a goal to work towards similar to graduating from college. There you go. So our preparation, our emotional readiness for marriage affects your mental health. Yeah, marriage does affect your mental health. Yeah, we need a psychiatrist for this. Thank you, Doc. When you're going to get married, it's going to affect your mental health. Thank you. This is what we need. Here's $50. I'll see you next week. However, marrying young quickly for love or to leave home can leave many crucial questions about your partner unanswered until after the ceremony. Couples should discuss issues like religion, values, moral beliefs, and living styles before making a forever commitment. And you know, let's take the forever out of it. Isn't it time to grow up? Isn't it time to change the nothing's forever. That word forever, let's take that out. Even in marriage, that's one reason I don't get married, because the sickness and the health. I'm not too much on the sickness. I'm not too much on that. I'm not going to, you know, that kind of bothers me, and that's the reason I'm not. You know what I mean? I'm not there.
But wait, but would you leave your partner if they got sick?
In a minute. See, the thing, it depends on the sickness. If you have a cold, I'm staying for 3 or 4 days. But you know, we had this talk. But if you have somebody, if somebody's with cancer, of course I'm going to be there. You know, they're going to die. I'm going to be there. And hopefully they'll do it soon, because I don't have much time, right? I'm getting older too. I mean, we know she's going to die. I mean, I don't want her to die when she's 70 and I go, okay, she's dead, I'm going to start dating. There's nobody to date. I'm going to always be there. And I'm hoping that she'll be well in her sick bed to sign the divorce papers. But after she signs the divorce papers, I'm still going to be there, Laverne.
If she died, she wouldn't need to sign no divorce papers, would she?
Well, no, but she may just be vindictive and hang on a little longer, and I'm going to have to keep visiting her. But we know the end result is that she's going bye-bye. She's going to see Jesus. Tell him I said hello. But if you have some, but it doesn't mean I'm not going to come visit her. I mean, I'm going to be nice when I serve her the divorce papers and say, you know, you're not so well. And remember that promise about sickness and health? Well, I lied, you know, and I'm sorry the Lord forgave me. I hope you do. You know what I mean?
Look,
I'm not too good about that.
Just if you could. Say, like, if your spouse had a terminal illness.
Right.
If you can come to an agreement and
right.
say, you know, saying, you know, I'm going to be here for you. I'm going
right.
to take care of you. But I have
right.
needs, too. I need that companionship with someone else, you know, conversations and stuff like that. Now,
right.
I agree that if you would agree that I would do that with your blessing, but I'll still be here to take care of you.
Right. See, you're logical. I can still stay with you. But what happens if you have a girl who's insecure? Not everybody's logical. What happens if you had a girl who's insecure and going, you're really going to do this right now? I mean, I have terminal cancer. I have no hair. I'm eating this food. I'm hooked up to a ventilator, and you're coming to me about dating other people? I mean, we're still married.
Right. And I said, oh, so what you going to do, leave? You going to divorce me? Or you going to leave me?
Right.
I'm playing right into your hands if I did that.
Right.
So it's probably what you want anyway.
Exactly. I mean, and then you look like an asshole. I mean, can you imagine that? Filing the divorce, and then they have to go to the critical care to get her paper, her signature. You kind of look like an asshole. Well, where's your wife? Oh, she's at critical care. You better get there right now. It's hose feeding time, you know, on a ventilator. You kind of look like an asshole. But you can't ask for that. I mean, if I was laid up in cancer, I'm going to die. I want the companionship. I want her to be, whatever happened that you want me to be happy, right? I mean, I get the divorce papers, and I said, you know what, I'm not going to make it. You know what I mean? And I'm going
to
hang up
with you.
Right.
To be honest with you, that divorce may not be so much in your mind, because if you're feeling like they're not going to be here that long, see, you're going to be holding on for that insurance money.
You know, you're right, and the will. So you just cheat, right? Who's she going to find out about, right? Who's going to tell her? But you're right. Because you got to hold on to that insurance money, because you invested in this relationship, and that money is yours. And also that will. She may have a lot of money, because she's been networking, and she's a working woman. You got to hold on
right.
to that.
Right, but if you divorce her, you get none of it.
Oh, that's a good idea. All right, then what you're going to do is use the pillow over the face. accident.
But you don't want to kill her. You do love her.
Oh, I do? Yes, I do. I had to be reminded. Oh, yes, I do. Hello, Buttercup. I'm rich, but I love you, baby. Yeah, you're at the funeral, still counting the cash in hand. 150. While she's being laid to rest. Ooh, look at this, $500. Yeah, I mean, I guess you're right. If you have somebody who's terminally ill, do the right thing and just cheat. That's what you should do. But if you have a good relationship, you should at least, she would want you to be happy and you would want her to be happy and say, you know, I understand. I made peace with God. Yes, I do want you to have friendship. Don't get married to her till I'm dead. Make the deal, right? You're not going to get married.
Right.
You know, at least give me the respect.
Right.
Don't get married to her till I'm gone. Keep it
low-key.
Right,
because that would lead right back to you get nothing if you got married.
That's right. Well, this is good marriage talk. You gave me ideas that I didn't think about. Because that sickness and health thing, we should take that out because it makes me very uncomfortable. Health and forever do you part? We should take that out too. I know people are writing their own vows, but we should change that kind of thing. Forever? That's a long time. I mean, shit happens, you know what I mean? And I don't want to make a promise to God. Okay, God, I'm going to stay with her until she's got sickness and this is forever, and I'm making a promise to God. I'm not making a promise to her because when you take those vows, you're promising God this, right, Laverne? Is that the idea? You're making a promise to God.
Yeah, but how many stick to it? You do. But how many stick with that promise?
Well, that's up to the Lord.
Not many.
That's true. Not too many take their vows seriously. Not too many. So you're talking to a guy who never been married and never will be. I don't believe in marriage. I think we should take out marriage and make a binding contract between the two people. I think that would be a better way of us going about life because I invested in my relationship for a long time. Cindy invested in her relationship for a long time. We're partners, and we love each other. That goes with it. But I think
well, you better be glad. You better be glad you don't live in a common law state then.
Oh, I do. Mm-hmm. California. In fact, California, if you were together for 7 years, you're considered married. 7 years.
Uh-huh.
You're considered. She could take half my shit, and that's why I have no goals of making anything.
But, you know, I don't know. Also, you know, there are common law states because Virginia is a common law state. But I don't know if that's ever considered or, you know, they really push that.
Well, it's in the law books, and if it's law, they could take that to court. Not many people take it to court. And by the way, divorce is very expensive. We could go to the other side. We got in California, people are so, divorce is so expensive in California, people can't afford to get a divorce. You can't have $15,000 to get a divorce, and other stuff people can't afford. Yeah, $15,000, Laverne, to get a divorce in California. $15,000. There are couples.
No, I wouldn't get that divorce then unless the person that I'm marrying, if they got the money to do it, great.
Right.
But if you're looking for me to do it, forget it.
Well, see, that involves a lot of things because even if you're not together anymore, you still have to claim if you have property together or house together or kids or child payments. See, you're not going to pay. If you're not living in a house and you're not divorced, you don't have to pay child support. You know what I'm trying to say? So there's a lot of things that there's people are getting away with. It's like, honey, I don't owe you any child support. We're not divorced. We're just separated. There's no separation payment. You know what I mean? And what about our house in both our names, our bank's accounts in both our names? We filed taxes, even though we're not together. So sometimes people have to get a divorce so they can break away from that. And it's expensive. It is really.
But isn't Can't you be separated but filed jointly?
I don't think so. I don't know. Even then, I wish I could answer that. All I know is a couple of my friends are going to divorce, and it's cost them a lot of money, and they can't afford it. You know what they're doing here? A lot of people in California are, they're not really divorcing. Let's just say they're divorcing in name only, but they're living together.
Mm-hmm.
They have broken up, and they have gone their separate ways, but they can't afford it, and they still live at the same home together. I forgot what they call it now, co-something. They can't afford to move out, so they still. Yeah.
I can see that, but one problem with that I see, okay, say if one partner still have feelings for the other, and they don't want to see you bring in your new friend in the house.
Right.
So now you had to have some type of agreement with that, too. You know, we can live together, but we see our company outside of the house.
Right. See, that gets complicated. And also gets complicated where people go back and forth with each other because they're lonely or there's a certain moment or a song they hit and they get romantic that evening and then they regret what they're doing. And it becomes messy. It confuses the kids. It confuses them. It gets messy. It does. And there's not a right way to do it. The only right way I think is to do it is you must leave the home. None of this cohabitation rooming with each other. If the marriage is not working, you need to get out. There's no happy ending. There's nothing, oh, man, we made the agreement, man. She's cool. I'm cool. And we still live it together. And all of a sudden, she doesn't do my laundry. Now you're doing your own laundry. She's going out with her girlfriends, and she never went out with her. You can't, men, I'm talking about men, you cannot handle that emotionally. When she changes and she becomes an individual, you are not going to be able to. And when you ask her to do something, she goes, you better do it yourself. You can't handle that emotionally. So I suggest get the hell out of that house. You know what I mean, Laverne? Live in a hotel.
Yeah.
Because men cannot handle that emotionally. Women can, I guess they can filter it or they can put it in a vault and deal with it more than a man can. Because as soon as she goes out and meets somebody or even have lunch with a friend at work, and she comes home, and going away for the weekend, men cannot, they lose their damn mind. They lose it. Even though you're not together, men do not like to see other men banging your ex.
Yeah.
Even if you're gone, they don't want to hear about it. They can't handle that. So, just be, it's just life. Just do the, just get out. If you don't get out, you're going to be in prison, I guarantee you. Now, we're going to end the show, and the lovely co-host, and she didn't know she was a co-host, but she was co-hosting the whole damn show, Laverne. Thank you so much for coming in.
You are very welcome. Very welcome.
Thank you, sweetheart. And thank you for here's King. And now King decided to show up. King decided to show up late for church. Here's King showing up late for church. You know, if he showed up late for church, that the devil must have made him late. Hello, King.
Hi, Brian. It's my birthday today.
Oh, it's your birthday. Oh. How old are you?
11.
Oh, my goodness. You are 11
years old. Oh, happy birthday.
Happy birthday. This is Miss Laverne on the show, too. This is King's son, right? Yes?
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Good morning, Brian. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, King. Well, we got to give what's your son's name again, King? What's your son's name?
His name is David.
David, I want to make sure I got David. Okay. All right, Junior.
Yes.
David, 11
yep.
years old. Let me give you the 11-year-old birthday talk. You're 11 year old, my friend. You know what that makes you? You're a young man at 11 year old. How do you feel? Do you feel older?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now there's responsibility. Now, do you have a job? Do you have a job at 11?
Yep.
No.
Oh.
Do you have a girlfriend?
No.
I'm just checking. Just checking. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. I'm going to, you know, we have a birthday song for people, special people who come into the studio. And we have a birthday song for you. Do you want to hear it? What is your favorite birthday song? Do you have a favorite birthday song?
Yeah.
Which one is it?
It's a cha-cha-cha. Happy birthday, cha-cha-cha.
Happy birthday, cha-cha-cha?
Uh-huh.
I don't know that one. Can you sing it so I can learn it?
Yeah. Happy birthday to you, cha-cha-cha. Happy birthday to you, cha-cha-cha.
Okay. All right. Is there any other words? Keep on singing because I like it. Is there any other words? Okay.
Happy birthday to you, cha cha cha. Happy birthday to you, cha cha cha. Happy birthday, dear Jason. Happy birthday to you.
Okay. Ready, Laverne? Here you go, Dave. Here we go. Happy birthday to you, cha cha cha. Happy birthday to you,
cha cha cha.
Cha cha cha. Happy birthday, dear David.
Happy birthday.
To you.
Here you go, David. Here you go, buddy. What do you think?
It was good. Some students in my class just clap their hands and sing happy birthday to their child.
Oh, you know what? It's great. You're 11 years old. My God. You know, your father's been... Yes?
And my favorite rapper is Drake.
You like Drake? Really?
Yes.
Really? Why do you like Drake so much?
Because I really like the beats and the rap too.
Really? I mean, you're taking on your father. You're becoming to be more like your father because your father's a good rapper, too. Drake, you got good taste in rapping. Did you hear Drake's new song, What's Next? Did you hear What's Next yet from Drake?
Yeah.
You like it?
Yeah.
It's okay. What is the best song you like from Drake? What's your favorite song?
All of it. The Toast.
All of it.
Lies, and God's
okay.
Plan. And you used to call me on my cell phone.
Oh, man. God's Plan is a good one. I like that, right? I'm going to play God's Plan for you. Is that okay? Can I do that for you for your birthday?
Yes.
I like God's Plan. It's a good one. Well, let me tell it the world, because you know the world is listening. I have a big audience all over the world. Everybody, is David's birthday today. He's one of David, I consider a friend. Can we be friends? We're friends, right, David?
Yes.
There we go. He just turned 11 years old, and I consider David a good friend. And this guy is going to do beautiful things in this world. What do you want to grow up to be, David? What do you want as a job? What do you think? Because I know you're going to change the world.
I want to change the world as being a basketball player and a softball player.
Yeah. You're going to do it. Nothing is going to stop you. I have full confidence in you, and I'm so proud of you. And this song is for you. This is Drake, God's Plan. Everybody around the world, it's David's birthday. Cha-cha-cha. Here you go, David. God's Plan. Well, it's supposed to start, David. Sometimes we have a glitch in the studio. here we go.
On TV the other day, he's a real good-looking man. But I remember when me, him, and Wesley Snipes were young, back in the 80s, they still got some of their money. I look good. I ain't got nothing, but I look good. It's a good life. It's a good life. That's it. That's it. Damn.
Going out to David. God's Plan.
I've been moving calm, don't start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m.
Anything you guys want in the store is free. So grab whatever you guys want.
I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gon' tell the story, shit was different with me. God's plan. God's plan. I hold back sometimes I won't, yeah. I feel good sometimes I don't, hey, yeah. I finesse down Western Road, hey, yeah. Might go down to G-O-D, yeah. I go hard on Southside G, yeah, yeah. I make sure that Northside E, yeah. And still.
Please say what you say. Thank God for what's happening right now. It might not be good, but thank God. I do.
Start no trouble with me. Trying to keep it peaceful is a struggle for me. Don't pull up at 6 a.m. to cuddle with me. You know how I like it when you loving on me. I don't want to die for them to miss me. Yes, I see the things that they wishing on me. Hope I got some brothers that outlive me. They gon' tell the story, shit was different with me. God's plan. God's plan. I hold back sometimes I won't, yeah. I feel good sometimes I don't, hey, yeah. I finesse down Western Road, hey, yeah. Might go down to G-O-D, yeah. I go hard on Southside G, yeah, yeah. I make sure that Northside E, still. Bad things, it's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish.
Yeah, you got the right idea.
Bad things. There's a lot of bad things that they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish and they wish on me. Yeah. Hey, hey.
winning, I might decide to run for president of the United States. This is what a president is supposed to look like. Okay? That's right.
I'm trying to get jobs. I'm trying to reach out to different workforce programs. And I can't thank you enough.
We're making a $25,000 donation to the school for incentives for the after-school program, which we're really excited about.
We're also donating $50,000
to... We're nothing without our mothers, so thank you. You got to make sure you take care of your mom, too, no matter what you do. That's all we got, you know. Trust me. That's my world, too, you know.
Thank you, dear. Yeah. God bless you.
And that's going out to David, who just turned 11 years old, man. David, you know, when back in the day, I had some advice. Somebody gave me advice. He was a wino, Willie the Wino. Yeah. And Willie Wino says, you know, young blood, just be true to you and be true to everybody around you, and you'll be all right. I'm proud of you, David. I mean, I hear you kids, and you guys make me smile. And I have faith in you. You're going to change the world. I know you will and what you do. What do you want for your birthday?
Ain't not feeling.
I just really want Drake jacket.
You want a Drake jacket? Wow. Do
yeah.
Do they really? Okay. Do they have those for sale? Can people buy a Drake jacket?
Really?
Did you check it out? Do you know how much it costs? Because the birthday bunny may... You believe in a birthday... Well, there's no such thing as a birthday bunny. I just made them up. Sometimes the birthday bunny's broke. But sometimes he has some money. Let me see. Let me take a look at Drake's jacket here. So what size do you wear if you're going to get a Drake jacket?
I wear size 10 and 12.
10 and 12? You're a big kid. Wow. They make them that big? Let me see here. Let's see what they... Ooh. Uh-huh. Oh. You sure you want to... How about a Prake jacket? It's like a Jake jacket, but... It's kind of a knockoff. I see where you're going with this. Well, I hope you get it, you know? Because he's a good role model. Drake is a good role model. And happy birthday, Dave. And, David, I got some news. You know, Disneyland is opening up in 3 weeks, but they're only letting California people in. They should be letting other people in soon. And I'm going to keep my promise to you guys. You know, when your dad come on out here, I'm going to keep my promise, and we're going to be going to Disneyland. It's not a Drake jacket, but Mickey's cool, too. You know? He's cool. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I even like Justin Bieber, too.
I'm sorry?
I even like Justin Bieber, too.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're going to get a birthday cake today, right, David? You're going to get a birthday cake, and Daddy's going to make a special day for you?
Yeah.
Well, you sound excited. 11, man. 11 years old. Congratulations. You're a strong, young black man, and you're going to do amazing thing. Keep God in your heart and be blessed, David. And thank you for coming in the studio. The whole world knows that you just turned 11 years old today. And an update, me and Laverne are going on tour with a Happy Birthday Cha-Cha-Cha, so we may be touring in a neighborhood near you. How's that?
Good.
Okay. Okay. And what is your favorite radio show, David? the radio show that you love to hear. What is it? I guess it's not me.
I don't know.
Okay. So, is your daddy there? Is your daddy there?
Yes.
Can I speak to him? And happy birthday, David. Cha cha cha.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Hey, what's going on, Brian?
Hey, what's going on? Happy birthday to little young blood there, man. He's smart, King. You're doing a great job, man. You're doing It really warms my heart. And I say it all the time, you know, when fathers step up and the kids are intelligent and they're smart, it's a compliment to you. You did this, man. And you should be really proud. You should be really proud. Did you hear the church ladies that I played for you? Did you hear it earlier today?
No, I'm just now getting on. I was letting him talk to my mom, and you know,
right.
She was wishing him a happy birthday and stuff, and talking with her earlier, and so I just got fun with her, you know, and I looked at the time. I thought, oh man, I got to get on the show. Today's gonna be a busy day, so you know.
I know. Keep me updated on. I'm gonna be talking to you a little late. I'm gonna be talking to you, and I'm gonna give you a call a little later, okay? And we're gonna talk a little bit about birthdays, okay? I'm just gonna give you a hint.
Yeah.
I'm just gonna give you a hint. I mean,
yeah.
I'm looking at the Drake jackets right now. Some of them are $199. Some of them are $64.
Yeah.
You have to call Drake.
I know. I was looking at them. I was looking at the jackets, and I said to myself, these are like some camouflage jackets. I'm like, I might be on the wrong site.
Right. Right.
I think he wants one like what Drake was wearing, but they don't sell those. You know, those are custom made. So I'm going to have to, since I found a company that I'll be dealing with when I start getting different clothes and stuff made or whatever, I'm going to probably see about ordering like a regular plain jacket, and I might have to get like patches or something sewed onto it and go from there. Yeah, because those Drake jackets that I was looking at, I said, we're not going hunting. We ain't going hunting. I was looking at those jackets, I'm like, I don't know about that. Yeah.
Well, we'll talk. But I saved this for you. I wanted you to hear it. The show's we're in podcast now, but we're still live. I have to let everybody know. We're still live and tune in. We're still live on speaker. And when people listen to the podcast, they're going to be live to them because it's going to be like it's live. But I saved it for you. Yesterday I had it. It was Key and Peele. Yesterday, these are two guys. They're black, and they do a comedy bit. Well, I played this last night, and I thought about you. And this is when they're in church.
Yeah.
So they're playing two church ladies.
Keenan and Kel?
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember them. Yeah.
Did you hear the ones when there are two church ladies and they're going against Satan in church?
It's been a while. I'll probably have to hear it again. My kids, they love the Good Burger movie. Good Burger, home of the Good Burger.
Wow.
Oh man.
I'm gonna play this for you again. Right. They're in church right now. They're two church ladies, and this is what happens at church.
Happy Sunday, Esther.
Happy Sunday, Georgina. How was your week?
Oh, the Lord is with me. Mm-hmm. But the devil, he got his hands on my grandniece.
Grace.
Oh, no.
Mm-hmm. They're smoking the reefer, doing the hanky-panky with boys.
No, George.
Jesus.
Well, Esther, you know that I love all things that are good and holy.
Mm-hmm.
But if he doesn't let go of my grandniece, Grace, I'm going to cut the devil's off and shove it in his ass.
Mm-hmm.
With my prayers.
I know you will, Georgina. I know you will.
How was your week, girl?
Oh, you know me. I'm blessed and thankful for every day.
Mm-hmm. All right. But you know my grandson, Jason, got himself wrapped up in the leathery claws of Satan.
Not Jason. He got himself arrested for the spray painting and the vandalism.
Oh, Lord. And I tell you, I never raise my hand in anger, but if he don't let Jason go, I'm going to punch that Satan in the nuts so hard it wiped the licking smirk off his horned-ass face.
Mm-hmm. With my prayers.
Amen. I know you will, Esther. I know you will, but Esther, I got to tell you something else now.
Let it out.
You know, Esther, that I have found serenity in the glory of heaven.
Yes.
But my daughter's husband, Bernard, has got himself wedged between the cleft hooves of Lucifer himself.
Mm.
She opened up his laptop computer and found the pornography of women.
Not the pornography of women.
Absolutely, the pornography of women.
Not on the laptop computer.
The laptop computer and the pornography of women. I am a pacifist under God's request, but if he don't let go of Bernard, I'm going to sneak up on that bitchy-ass Lucifer right in the midst of his sleep time.
Oh.
And then I'm going to sit on that mother head and I'm going to spread my booty cheeks on that pig's face. And I'm going to just pucker up my stank hole and just toots, 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 until that got a brown dot on his nose that I can use for target practice.
Georgina.
Yeah.
Oh, I got nothing but faith in God in heaven above, but I tell you, my son's wife, Crystal, she got herself wrapped up in the fiery wings of Mephistopheles herself.
Here we go.
You know, she got caught using profanity with her own children.
At the dinner table.
Oh, Lord, child. Georgina, darling, Martin. I have nothing but love for every creature on this planet.
Mm-hmm.
But if he don't let my darling Crystal go, I'm going to flirt with the devil.
Oh.
Show him a little bit of shoulder. How you doing? He going to start looking away. I'm going to start twerking. Start twerking. He's going to be like, ooh, and he's going to be drawn in.
Mm-hmm. Seduce that little motherfucker.
Okay.
You want to leave.
Batting my eyelashes at him. Then when he least expects it, and I got his trust, that's when I'm going to ride that. I'm going to give him the night of his life, a night he ain't never going to forget. I'm going to give him this way. I'm going to give him that way.
Right.
And then right when he about to climax, that's when I'm going to clench up my on that mother red and I'm going to snap that off with a divine kegel.
Well, you got to snap that off.
With your prayers.
Of course, with the prayers, yeah. But that's right, girl.
Yeah.
You go get him, Esther.
Yeah.
Satan. Him in B.
What's happening, Georgina?
Georgina's here. It is I, Satan.
Huh?
Yeah.
Oh, give me some of that. Why you?
make you do this to me.
Oh, you're scared of fucking motherfucker. You're waiting for your
I'm waiting for you're a
Can you go hot?
There you go, King. Oh, man. I love those guys. I love those guys. Wow. You should see the video. Well, happy birthday, cha-cha-cha, to you, David. And, again, King, thank you for coming in the studio today. And my co-host today, Laverne. My co-host and my backup singer, and we will be touring. And our latest single, Happy Birthday to David, Cha Cha Cha, will be hitting the singles in the Billboard charts soon. And we'll have another show tomorrow. And thank you, Laverne, for coming in, keeping me company today. And Melissa, wherever you are, you do it, girl. She's getting her groove on today, and she's looking fine. And Angela came in today, and we want to thank Angela for coming in. And, of course, the birthday boy. Happy birthday to you.
Happy
right.
birthday, David.
And good to hear. All right, guys. I will see you tomorrow, and we are the number one show on Drive Time, Brian the Hammer Jackson, and the only way that this show works is by the morning crew. King, Mr. King of Kings, the rapper, Laverne, the lovely ebony queen of the crew, Melissa, magnificent Melissa, and Stan the Man Lee, and those are just a few, Miss Lisa. And I'm sure there's more morning crews, but those are the people who make up the show. See you guys tomorrow, and happy birthday.
Bye-bye.
Cha-cha-cha.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for
Bye.
Happy birthday.
Oh, you're welcome. You're welcome. All right, Youngblood, change the world for me. We need you. Stay strong. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.